Welcome to the March 13th, 2024, Van County Board of Supervisors Budget Work Session. And we're going to turn it over to Mr. Dahl.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Mr. Dahl?
So yeah, just again, adoption of the agenda, which is pretty basic. So just some things to look at is, you know, county department budget proposals, those that didn't get their full requests that wanted to, you know, just advocate for their departments. One, I've added one thing that's not on here. I just wanted to give the board some looks at some health insurance options. First glance look, because we have to make some decisions by April 1, and then really, you know, just getting into the budget work itself. So that's really the agenda tonight. So I guess we just need an adoption of the agenda.
So made.
Seconded.
Motion made by Mr. Sheridan, seconded by Mr. Hodge. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 4-0.
4-0-1.
4-0. Oh, thumbs up here. Okay. You gotta have an extra pen.
Oh, just got it.
It's a yeah.
Hey, I want that back. I already stole it.
Click on this here. So where is Mr. True? So
Mr. True's right.
Mr. True, why don't we have you come up first, up to the hot seat right there?
Oh, thanks.
Click on the veranda.
Raise your right hand. Swear to tell the truth.
Oh, that's true.
That's about the truth. So help you guys.
I do.
So,
no, you're good. I picked it up and I was like, why do I have to? So,
just, I realize you want us to proceed to the next slide.
Okay. That's an inferior pen.
I'll make the early donation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just want to throw it at you heavy enough to knock you out.
Okay, so Mr. True's got a budget presentation. As you know, he had requested to do a change, adding a third station for Kent's store. And I'll let Mr. True kind of go over what the proposal is. Again, that was not.
And before he goes through that, I'm going to ask one question. Right now, with everything that's in your budget, we're plus $17,000, correct?
Teresa, can you give me one of those sheets, please, so I can see?
Yeah, it's just, it's in black. So that's plus, right?
Yeah. And what we'll do after we go through that, I'll kind of tell you what changes we have thus far, because there are a few changes that we have. We have some additional revenues, some minor revenues, and there are a few corrections that we need to make some adjustments for. And then we can start plopping some things into the expense column. Because there's some things we do know for sure, but I wanted you at least to see what's here first, and then we'll start adding some things in as we go.
I apologize. I just wanted to make sure where we were.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. True, when you need Ms. Melton to go to the next slide, just let her know.
Gentlemen on the board. So I'm coming asking for staffing for the Kent Store EMS station at this particular moment in time. As you can see with the presentation, our current response times from Station 1 to Kent Store, they are going to be greater than 15 minutes. We're also seeing a significant growth in the population requesting EMS per the communication center of about 18% per year on average of the last 3 years. We are, as would be expected, we're assisting Lake Monticello in keeping the county covered at all times, with the last 3 months averaging 15 times per month assisting Lake Monticello with our current ALS unit, and 30 times per month assisting them with a second due. And that is a second due call only. That does not include if they we are initially dispatched into their area. That would be they have been dispatched, their unit is currently tied up, they're requesting a second unit. It doesn't also include any third due into their area as well. So if they should have three stacked calls, that's not included in that number. The proposed staffing model that I'm asking for is what's presented. It's a Sunday through Saturday environment. When you can see there that we would have two shifts staffed in the environment, an A shift and a B shift. The shift itself would be, and of course, the shift would be a peak load. And the reason I opted for a peak load is when I went back and I had the communication center actually pull call volumes over the course of the last year and over the class of the last 3 months, what we discovered is that on our biggest volumes and requests for service are actually running from 7 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. So, and I was a little surprised by that considering the size of the bedroom community at Lake Monticello, but the biggest call volumes and the largest call request is Tuesday at 11 a.m. So I was like, okay, this is odd, but I feel like going to a peak load to start the service into rotation would be a better use of resources than putting in a 24/7 truck up there. Shift, your first shift, which would be your first week, you're talking three personnel, two to three personnel based on 144 hours. The second shift would be 108. You can see the second week. Total monthly staffing would be at 504 hours. And the second is the yearly staffing at 6,048 hours.
Ms. Belton, just go back to the previous chart with them. So you can see, let me reach down there. So to do this model, it's $426,000. That's what the additional cost is above and beyond what I funded in my budget. So just to kind of keep that in mind, that's for model one.
Did you say 426?
426.
426, 360.
Yep. Go
back. Sorry.
Everybody.
And it's three total?
I'm sorry?
I saw three person, or how many?
So it would be an ambulance staffing with an EMT, AMT configuration similar to what we have now, and then a secondary person with an ALS person to assist throughout the rest of the county as well as Kent Store. So the ask on model one is a six person ask.
For Kent Store, right?
For Kent Store. So it's essentially staffing station three, which is what we currently have. Now, it would not be essentially only for a Kent Store. It would be the type of an environment that if one and two are out, it would be a system status management, moving the Kent Store down to include staffing throughout the current area to assist with call volumes across the board. But its primary location would be the Kent Store response area.
But if Palmyra got a call and then a second call came in the same area, they might be the squad that would go run it.
The second model is the same time frame with an 8-to-8. It does reduce the actual staffing requirements to a four-person ask, which would be a EMT, AMT, and an ALS provider as well. And that budgetary ask is
$294,000. What was the model one again?
426.
426, six people.
Go ahead. And this breakdown shows the number of hours and the actual coverage on that particular model. So we went down from 6,042 hours to 4,032 hours for the four personnel staff throughout the course of the year, because we're essentially removing two providers from the staffing hours. So as you can see, current times running out of Station 1 coming from the Palmyra, which is located at 90 Rescue Lane, to different locations within the Kent Store response area. The post office, for example, is 17 minutes. I picked a few other random locations up in that general response area. And then the second column is the presentation with responding directly out of Station 3 to those same areas in regards to how long it takes to get us there. Conclusion, what we're discussing is some data information. So response cardiac arrest patients with less than 15 minutes shows an increase of 43% of survival rate. There's a noted increase for motor vehicle crash survival with a decrease in response times. It's also a noted reduction in mortality and long-term side effects for stroke patients. Last one. And if you should request any cited works regarding the data I provided, those are readily available.
Board have any questions on any of that?
And those response times are if the squad is sitting in company one or station one. If station one is gone and they have to come from station three or from the station five, add 10 minutes to each time. Then you're looking at 25 minutes.
So when we got up, got going on our own EMS, I'm trying to think back to what the discussions were regarding Kent Store and projections for this type of thing coming. Anybody remember? Did we see this coming?
Well, I mean, they talked about the staffing models last year.
I've talked about this every time we've been into a meeting because of response times. That's why when something major happens in Kent Store, if they have the ability, you throw them in the car and drive to Station 7 in Louisa. It's nothing against the treatment that we get.
No, I understand.
But I can be sitting at the station in Louisa 15 minutes closer to Charlottesville by the time they can get to us.
But I meant more regarding a plan. We didn't make as a part of our plan this next step.
At this point, no. And again, you know, as working with Mr. True and Mr. True was working with others, it's looking at the data and looking what happens with, you know, needing, again, you know, volunteers kind of come and go a little bit, and so sometimes maybe they have to pick up the pace a little bit more. Again, I didn't include it in my budget. It's not that I don't think maybe it's valid. I mean, certainly, you know, having reduced response times throughout the county is a great thing. It's just a matter of at what point is that the time to do that? And so, you know, again, I didn't include the Model 1 426, just with us not even having been fully staffed for, what's it, maybe 9 months now, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Fully staffed would have happened the beginning of September.
Months, yeah. So that's why I didn't include it in my budget proposal.
Now, I did look back through the notes when the ordinance and stuff was being put together, and I believe the board was presented with three different options. I do not, however, recall whether a third ambulance, it was one ambulance for staffing, a second ambulance for staffing, and I thought the third option presented was to have three transit.
I think they're called three ambulances. Yeah.
Three ambulances, and the board at the time chose the two ambulance model.
Yeah.
Because of the calls, because of the percentages, we went with that, and because of it being such a big slice of pie, you know, being such a big piece. I just tell you right now, it's a matter of time before we're going to have help on the fire side during the day. We all work. And it's cool. They're very nice. They're nice enough that if we have a bad enough call, I'll have people cover for me. But, I mean, I turned 60 in October. So it's not like we're sitting here running it with young people. We are going to have to. I know one of the things that they talked about was hiring part-time people that had fire and EMS. I know that's one of the things that some of the people at the firehouse have talked about, just so we can have daytime coverage.
And there is discussion as of right now within the fire rescue, the FRA, about we've put together a subcommittee to proceed with exactly that look in regarding to putting paid personnel or cross-trained personnel in firehouses. The subcommittee consists of Mr. Pullen, myself, Dan, and then Richie Constantino out of Station 5. And that's one of the things that we are looking for in the future. And as the subcommittee comes together, it will likely be the type of an environment that's the direction that we move in, is a cross-trained environment for personnel up there. And it's not uncommon, and I currently have on staff personnel that are currently cross-trained for fire and EMS, and that's one of the desired parts of our current application process, is coming in with Fire 1 and Fire 2.
And my biggest thing, Mr. Fairchild, you remember, because you were at this meeting too, when we met with the chiefs back at Lake Monticello, it was...
December, I think.
Yeah, it was like December of like almost... A year and 4 months or something like that ago. And at the time, you know, everyone was very adamant that let's start with the rescue piece. And again, from my standpoint, until the FRA says that they want to move forward with that, you know, and fully ask the board to consider that, you know, I think that's what we need if that point ever comes. But I think right now, I think this is, you know, Mr. True's request based upon what they're seeing from a need and a response time. But again, those both of those models were not included in my budget request or my budget proposal.
Now, would it be if we were looking for a cross train in the future, would it be not moving forward too quickly to put purely EMS in there when maybe the cross trained is the, sounds like I'm hearing y'all say maybe that's the way to go, or that's what's being considered in the...
It's being what it's discussed and be considered in a subcommittee of putting cross trained personnel in there. At this point, we're still in a subcommittee regarding that. This being the fiscal year for 2025, is there a possibility that I come back in 2.5 months and say that we want to change this job classification to a cross-trained personnel? There's a likelihood that could very well happen. I know that there is some support among some of the local chiefs in regarding to following that particular model. Essentially, moving the process forward, there's a strong possibility that we come back and say, hey, this is where we're at. This is the accepted recommendation from the FRA, and we would like to change this position title to a cross-trained person.
And as far as the rescue only goes, we did that because it was out of necessity. We knew the contract was ending and we had to go.
Yeah.
We had to have something. They basically told us they weren't going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
So we had to do rescue only to begin with, and I can't remember the exact date or timeline I said, but I said, guys, we've got to do this. This is a no-brainer. We've got to do it. But we better be ready to start helping at some of the volunteer stations. Now, we got a firefighter one going on with about, how many are in there?
18.
And 5 of them are Ken Store. Young people from Ken Store. 4 young ones and one 35-year professional fireman who's there with his son, but I mean, thank God he's there. We're constantly trying to add people, but we just saw the response times. I've said this 100 times in here. 25 minutes is a long freaking time.
Do we cover access on 64 from that station?
We do. We are now first due with Ferncliff to Zion's Crossroads. And we don't get out there all the time, and sometimes we go out there and we're just blocking, but you know, still that's something that's got to be done to keep people safe.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And is there a disadvantage to going with the model that has changing models, you know, down the road? Is there any disadvantage to that? Let's say we started with the 274 model and then moved to the 400 model.
No, sir.
I mean, the only thing, I mean, right now when we're hiring people, I mean, you're hiring people, some of them already have the firefighter certifications, mm-hmm. Firefighter 1 certification. So, I mean, you potentially have that in place. You know, obviously there would be a change in job descriptions, there would be a change in pay, in kind of, if the board and the county adopted that. And certainly, too, I mean, before you even got to that point, there's all sorts of ordinances that would have to be revised. Again, we went through this before. The FRA didn't want us to move forward with the fire piece, and so we moved forward with the EMS only. So, I mean, there would be lots of ordinances and policies and things like that that would have to be completely redone to allow for that to happen.
Yeah, we're still a ways from doing dual right now because, like you said, we're trying to work hand-in-hand with the volunteers because without them, put another zero on that $429,000.
So would it be fair to say that this could be a half year implementation, like the later part of the year, starting in December? I mean, if you're a ways away, you know, what's...
No, we're talking about the dual enrollment. We're not talking about just rescue only.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
I gotcha.
Rescue only, what's your highest, summertime, the highest volume?
Yeah, summertime is our highest volume. And to further answer your question, the two models, the original model or model one that you saw was based off of my original request into the budget. Model two that you saw was a change that I did, realizing where we were at in the fiscal environment to be more fiscally responsible.
Oh, I thought Eric had said that neither model was in the budget.
Neither one of those are in my budget proposal. Model one or model two, I did not fund in my budget proposal.
Okay. So model one was my original request.
I see.
And then looking back at it, running numbers, trying to get more in line with fiscal responsibility is when I moved over to model two.
Okay.
Quick question. How often are both county squads out of the buildings?
We're going, and no units available, essentially for the county, probably 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah. So that would just be an additional squad. They wouldn't just stay in Ken Storm. That's what he's talking about. To reduce response time, if station one and station two are out, three moves to one. Yeah. To become more center in the county.
Assistant
when they get back, they go back. So.
And is there a difference in response times between Model 1 and Model 2? I assume there is. Mm-hmm.
No, they're all both staged out of Station 3.
Personnel. It'll be differences in personnel. Instead of having three people on the squad, you'll have two.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have two people on a squad and then one ALS.
One ALS, correct.
Yeah.
So the ALS is
It would be purchasing another chase car.
So I've spoken with Mr. Pullen out at Station Chief 30, and he has offered one of his vehicles that he currently has in service to upgrade it to ALS.
The Chief's car that we agreed to replace, I think that's the Chief's car, would be the extra ALS car. I remember he touched up to me the other day. We had three fire calls in the wind.
Yeah.
But as far as the staffing, will you say with detail, as far as the staffing between Model 1, Model 2, what is the difference in the staffing? Again, I know you
can go back to Model 1, please.
Six people versus four people.
But I mean the positions, not quantity.
Well, you'd have one ALS and an additional extra truck.
So in Model 1, you have an AEMT or an EMT and AEMT. So essentially, that is the staffing model that we currently have in place. Each one of our units are running EMT, AEMT type of an environment with two providers on it. We have what is classified as ALS-1, which is our quick response vehicle, which is our ALS provider. We've moved to that model in board discussions to allow a more countywide response for that particular provider. So essentially, you've got one ambulance and one ALS provider. Again, taking the ALS provider and putting them more mobile to be able to respond to different areas and better access the county, better back up to our current units that are in place, better back up into Lake Monticello. So that is essentially what Model 1. You've got one ambulance and one quick response vehicle, if you will. Model 2 has one ambulance, which it contains an AEMT and EMT, and then the ALS provider would be strictly assigned to that ambulance.
I see.
Does that answer?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
There's a method to the madness with this question, so forgive me for getting around to the point. So we're talking about response times, and so I've had a few constituents reach out, especially down towards closer to the Columbia Fork Union District line, that a lot of those folks go down to Henrico Doctors, and there's been EMS calls, and they've basically been told, hey, we're either taking you to Charlottesville or you're driving yourself to Henrico Doctors. I talked with Eric a little bit about this. I don't know if it's an internal. My understanding was basically what I could gather was that the reason that it was Charlottesville is because you might be saving, 10 minutes on both ends of the trip if those people were needed back in the county for a response. So I guess that's response times is associated with maybe why that policy was in place. Would something like this enable people, on my side of the county that are closer that might be going to those doctors? I mean, this was an elderly gentleman.
My side too.
And yeah, I've talked with Andrew about some folks out there that go out to Richmond. Would this be something that would enable us to, I don't know if it's a policy or if it was kind of a mandate or what required them to be, have to say no, but, you know, is there something that could get these folks to their doctors in a situation like this instead of having to, I mean, this particular gentleman had to get in the car and his wife had to drive him to Henrico doctors while he was in pretty bad shape. So
Mr. Dahl actually asked me about that, and I put together an email presentation.
I've got some information I can send to the entire board on that so you can see what the times are. But the major changes, I mean, looking at the hospital, it was about a 30-minute round trip. Extra time.
So it was approximately a 20-minute one-way extra time response, which in turn takes the unit out of service for an extra 40 minutes in just travel time. And that's basically essentially going, okay, this is my location. This is the hospital I want to go to on Google Maps. And I mapped them out. And again, I sent Eric the information, but I mapped out for Kent Store, Palmyra, Fork, Union, Bremo Bluff, and Columbia in regards to that particular time frame. And it was a minimum of extra 20 minutes one way. So by the time you take into account the patient volume that's already hitting the stores in or the hospitals inside of the Richmond area, you're figuring on average of approximately 1 hour extra time that is removing that unit from the county. Does this open up the possibility of readdressing that? Yes, absolutely. Because currently we have two staffed career trucks. And if, with the numbers that we have, taking one of them and sending them to Richmond, and I ran into this the other day, where twice, we had an exclusive burn patient that needs a burn center. UVA is not a burn center. We have two in this particular area, being Chippingham and VCU. So my crews called me, and we ended up transporting that patient, as there was no other associated trauma, directly to VCU. Well, lo and behold, if it was going to happen, it did. As soon as they marked en route to VCU, the county dumped. So we ended up with a no unit available type of a situation. Having that third resource would definitely be worth revisiting that as far as where we're sending people and our ability to keep a unit in service.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to phone a friend, Mr. Lai, I think. Is there something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was basically going to echo what Jim said, and it gets even worse the further west you go in the county. In addition to that, this is a training issue. Our crews don't go there, so we don't know the hospitals, we don't know how to get in, we don't know what the procedures are there. That's a training issue, of course, but it does add an additional level of complexity. Each hospital does things differently, so we would have to have the crews all trained on how those hospitals work. So it's, as Mr. True said, it's a minimum of an hour, and when middle of the day when things are busy, that extra hour makes a big
difference. Depends on what part of Columbia you're in. Depends on what part of Columbia you're in.
So I took it, the Google Map process specifically from the center of each of the towns.
From my house, I can tell you right now, I've been sitting at Henrico Doctors in 29 minutes. Now, I'm not going to say anything about the guy that was driving. But I can tell you, we made it from our house to Henrico Doctors, and we're in the emergency room in 29 minutes.
Drive a little Honda, Nike.
Nope. This was in the squad.
I think this is a better question addressed by the FRA, because where you draw the line, wherever you magically put that line, somebody on the other side of it will say, but I want to go there. And then where do you stop it? And I think it's best left with the chiefs. This isn't a budget discussion.
Yeah,
and we should stick to topic and Amen. Let the chiefs do what they do.
I concur.
But whatever they recommend, I say we endorse and adopt if it improves service with no detriment to the county.
But it definitely would be worth revisiting.
Yeah, well, and I would contend that it could be a budget question when not everybody's tax money's paying for it, but I mean, if you make a call, I've heard stories as much about people driving over to the Goochland line and making a call so that they could go to Richmond.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you live in Rivanna Woods and you're 40 minutes at most away from your doctor and that's where you want to go and somewhere else is far away, you feel like your tax dollars are kind of yeah. laughing at you there. And that's no slight at you all. I completely understand it. But as far as it being a budget question, I mean, we're talking tax dollars. I think it is a budget question.
So that said, if it's an emergency, getting them to the hospital for definitive care is more important than going to the doctor.
Right. Yeah.
And we even get that question asked in the lake.
Yeah.
Can I go to Richmond?
Okay. And the prison one tries to do that all the time and carry it further away.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, for Mr. True's budget, those were kind of the major differences between what I funded and what he is requesting. Again, from his initial request, Model 2 is kind of a reduced request to the Model 1. So, any further questions on that? If not, I think we can move on to the next one. I think I only have got a couple department heads that didn't get a chance to advocate for their budgets for some things that maybe I did not include.
Thank you, sir.
So close escape, go up to the top link. Calvin, are you looking at what, facilities?
Facilities, yeah.
I'm thinking there's a space. Diane, can you sign me?
Go to the budget.
Yeah.
What do you need?
Water.
Thank you, sir.
Water.
You that from
Calvin,
can
you get your drink?
I'm gonna do one more bathroom break before I start water.
We have a quorum now, so not to worry.
Yeah, no.
You won't get called out this time.
I had to sit here for an hour because you guys weren't here last time. It's just like, man, my legs are crossed, everything.
We talked about it. There.
All right, go with it.
Mine is pretty simple. Comes down to what Mr. Dahl funded for in facilities for my staff for going to conventions or getting training, and I would like to increase that to baseline plus, and it's a couple thousand dollars. I think our staff is our biggest asset, and getting them trained, letting them go see what is going to a convention, seeing what's new, talking with their peers, I think goes a long way to making a staff member that shows that he's appreciated, and it helps him step up in life and their skill level, I think, at the same time.
Is that grounds, facilities, maintenance, people?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's right here. So he requested the $3,000 and the $28,000 for subsistence and lodging, convention, education. And I'll tell you the only reason I didn't do that is if you look back at the historical levels, I've had that money in there. And so what I told Mr. Hickman is, if I see those increased trainings happening, then I'm happy to increase, you know, looking at increasing those funds. If the funds that are not there, or the funds that are there are not, are not doing the trick right now to get the training that's needed. And so for me, my thinking is, let's see the training happening first, and then we'll increase it.
You could take it out of discretionary. I mean, it's $2,000 if that happens, right?
I mean, yes, but let's get them from the existing budget. Let's get them up to that level first, and then we can talk about increasing it. That was my
reason I asked the question. I see in the expenditure detail it says equipment classes, and I was wondering if that was like operating the chipper, so that'd be a grounds item.
Exactly. Sure. It can be for any of the staff that go. And I'm meeting next week with a training personnel to set up classes for them. So it's just been a matter of time and scheduling for us to get the guys scheduled for different events. So I see this year as a year to to do that. And I just wanted the funding there.
Well, that's nice. And I know it's basically what you're just responding to, but how come, if we got it in the budget, how come we weren't doing that at the beginning of this budget year?
This past year?
Yeah.
Just scheduling, personnel, situations.
Okay.
Planning.
But I mean, if you spent $143 last year, and you've got $4,000 in there now, I mean, does the other $2,000 make a difference?
Well, you know, we'd send them as a unit, you know, and it would pretty much eat up the whole budget once I send them to one thing. And I was looking to send them to a couple things and plan for it through the year with staff to be able to accomplish that. And especially I was going to set it up with the crew, the people I'm going to meet, the company I'm going to meet is TRC this coming week. They've got training courses they can set up for us. I was going to initiate them, get them set up. You know, it's still not too late for this year to do that.
So again, I mean, granted, it's small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. To me, it's just going back to, I want to see trends. I want to see that the funds are being utilized in some pattern of being utilized before I decide to increase them. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you,
Kevin. Mm-hmm. Aaron, did you have anything?
Just the one thing, the shed.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing.
Go to the Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I do that. I have a few of them. People give me crap. People give me crap for it. What it is. It's down in site improvement, all the way at the bottom. Spot right there. Shed for PG. It's just a shed to put my equipment in that I've asked to purchase that was approved in the budget. Then we're running out of room at the park to put stuff. But I have a picture of the shed somewhere. Yeah. So I don't know. I found it somewhere.
It's a shed.
It's a shed. It's a white shed to put equipment in. Two mowers and a four-wheeler, something like that.
The architectural details.
Nope. White plain shed.
Structural integrity.
With a rock bottom.
Does it have a rural aspect to it?
Yeah, no, it's in the back. I know, right? It's not in the historic acres.
Are we sure we want it to be white paint?
We should match the Farm Heritage Museum.
We can.
Yeah, we should match the Farm Heritage Museum.
I'll get you a green one. I can find you a green one.
Again, and you know, nothing against Aaron or his request. It was just, again, I funded a lot of things and just trying to be.
So something like this, I mean, you would think that there's, you know, obviously this is below capital improvements, mm-hmm. right? Traditionally, are we putting these and then removing them from the budget line? I mean, I know the answer is yes, that we are, but kind of almost makes sense. Like, why don't we have a entirely separate line item for these kinds of things rather than, you know, particular department head line item that is a one-time line item? Does that make sense? We almost have like a, you know, and for the copier or for the shed, you know, here's $15,000. It's just a,
It, those items have generally fallen under each individual, budget request. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could certainly do whatever. I mean, again, if I funded everything that everyone wants in their budget every year, it would be a tough budget year. So, I'm trying to balance out. And two, when I met with Mr. Spitzer, too, again, it's what are your priorities, and let me see what I can fund up to your priorities up to a certain point, and that's, I'm trying to stay within the budget, and if the tax rate wasn't an issue, we could fund a lot more, but there are constraints, so.
Where's this stuff currently being housed?
Because I'm buying two pieces of equipment up there and another mower this year. So I'm actually getting three more pieces of equipment. So I will have to figure out where to put it. I don't know. I'll make room.
Where are the maintenance shed? I got some telephone poles we can put up.
There's the maintenance shed.
Yeah, but it's full. That's the problem. We're already full with three mowers, a gator, two four-wheelers. The drag sits in the back. So it's not even in something. It's just sitting in the back. Tractor sits in the back under something, but it's not in something. So that's the problem. We just don't have anything to put in something. So it's exposed to the public when it's like that. And they've stole our drag before. Or a screen drag. Mm-hmm. Not the nail drag, but the screen drag. They've taken batteries off of mowers before. Mm-hmm. So it happens.
That's all going to get fenced in now, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope. No. It's in the back where I put the gate.
Yeah,
I got you. So I tried to put a gate to keep people from being able to drive back there to do that kind of stuff, so they actually have to pick it up and carry it out. I mean, it still gets done.
Yeah. They'll just use a tractor to drag everything out.
To the corner, to the gate. So, I don't know. That's some issues we've had.
Okay, that's the biggest request there.
Anything else?
And what are the mowers you're buying?
Kubotas. I have
zero turns?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be 1 0 turn, and then I'm buying a fence. It's like a bush hog you pull behind a four-wheeler that hooks fence posts. They said we don't have to weed eat manually, so we can do all the fence posts. Just get on a four-wheeler and ride, and it hugs fence posts. So it weed eats the fence posts and under. It'd be one of those, and then I think I'm asking for a walk-behind bush hog to do trail maintenance and stuff like that. So I have to house those two things. And the one thing's, I mean, it's almost as big as a stable when you get down to it. It's wide and has a motor on it and a PTO and pulls behind a four-wheeler.
What's a PTO?
Power trans something.
PTO?
PTO? Where you pull, like, and it starts the blade. You pull the mower up and it starts
the
blade.
It's the back attachment to, like, a tractor.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He grew up in Northern Virginia.
Like, when you have a lawn mower, you pull the thing that starts the blade. That's the PTO, the power. I don't know what it stands for. There you go. Or something.
For a buff arm.
Anything else, sir?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll go into now just kind of, so we can either go into the budget piece or I can talk to you all about health insurance and kind of just some initial glances at health insurance.
Health insurance.
Okay, go back, minimize this. Go back to health insurance and get brief.
No.
Go to the next slide. So again, as we discussed before, you know, health insurance costs are certainly generally a significant increase every year. So in my current budget, I had $136,392, which equated to a 6% increase for the budget. We were originally planning on maybe around an 8.5%. Again, it came in at 11%. So that just kind of shows the premium changes over the years, the rate increases over the years. So, you know, the last three fiscal years, once we moved to Anthem, you know, when we moved to Anthem, you can see we had a 21% decrease in our premiums, which was great. And, you know, we've had some I would say moderate increases the last 3-4 years. But this year we're looking at 11%. Next slide, please. So the board asked just to hear a couple different options. And again, these are just preliminary. And again, just kind of showing you the same stuff as last year. So there's really five different option plans here, and again, these can be retweaked. The one thing that Ms. Snow will say is, Donna, we need something decided by April 1st, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so option one, again, and I'm just showing some of the extremes here. So option one is the county pays the same amount. Basically, that means is the county does not want to pay any more for health insurance increases for employees in this fiscal year, and that's just showing the absolute extreme of that. So again, the county would have a zero, what the county pays would be a $0 increase. So in my budget right now, I have $136,000. So you could decrease the budget $136,000 if you wanted to say all employees will pay for all the increases. Now I've got charts that'll show you what that looks like, and it's pretty steep. Option two is the employee pays the same amount. So basically what that means is the county picks up the entire 11% increase. So the total 11% increase is $273,000. Right now in my budget I have $136,000, so you would need to increase the current budget by $137,000 if the board wanted to cover all of the increase. Option three, and these are the same kind of options we've provided before. Option three is the county pays the same percentage on premiums that they're paying right now for the different plans. What that would equate to is a $208,000 county increase. So right now in the budget, as I said, I have $136,000, so we would have to increase the budget by $74,000 to do that. Option four is kind of determining a flat amount per tier. So we're going to pay X amount for single, X amount for dual, X amount for family plans. And so under that, and again, I just have some standard amounts in there, trying to look at not showing any significant increases. I mean, although someone may say they're significant. Again, so that would equate to a $210,000 county increase. And again, And so obviously those are off a little bit. I think that should be a little less than that. But it's roughly around a $70,000 increase. And then option five is this kind of revised percentages. And again, for that one, it's a $204,000 county increase for $68K. So kind of some of these amounts, where I came from with those, I know we talked last time, the board was talking about, well, maybe we want to fund the 9 to 10% of the increase. So some of these amounts really kind of fall into that 9 to 10%. But again, we can do something different. Based upon these options, I would probably lean to option five, unless the board wanted to say, you know, we want to pay the whole thing. But out of some of the, if the county is saying we don't want to fund the whole thing, I would probably lean to the option five. So go to the next slide, please. So again, this is just the option one, again, where we said employees pick up the full increase. So if you look at this, and for the board members that are new here, so this is current Anthem, where we are now, and I can send this to you too if you want, and it just kind of shows what the so it shows a different plan, you know, single and the different plans in each plan, you know, how many participants we have, what the premium is, what the county pays, what the employee pays. Again, the county pays for an HSA for employees that are on a high deductible health plan. And then it shows the percentage that the county pays of each one of those plans. And then, so then option one is basically kind of what the plan is. So this one, again, the county pays the same amount, so this puts all the burden on employees. So you can see what the difference is per month, per employee. So from on single plans going anywhere from $60 to $84, where if you're on a family plan, it can go down to $227 a month increase. Again, that's if the county wants employees to cover the full increase. So that's option one. One thing with this, though, just I need to point out one thing. So I have that yellow star up there. You can see some of these amounts for single plans, 173, 140, 105, 154, 122. And this snow brought this to my attention. So there's something called the Safe Harbor Act, and for employee only plans, the employees cannot pay more than $101.93 per plan. That's just for employee only. So some of those amounts would have to change, and I just did some quick numbers prior to this. And so, actually, I did quick numbers, and that's what it would amount to. The county would actually have to pay $78,000 to do that, to get these up to that Safe Harbor Act level. But again, this is the plan if the county wanted employees to cover all the increase. Go to option two. So again, if you look at the column, the red box going down, again, you see no increases. Again, the employees pay the same amount that they do right now. The county would pay the full amount, so there's no increase to employees. Go to option three. Option three is, again, the county pays the same percentage that we're paying right now. And so you can see in the out column there what the increases would be depending on what plan you're on. And so again, from employee only plans, you know, from $1 increase to $12, on dual plans from $12 to $50, and on a family plan from $13 to $70. And again, it's based upon what type of plan you would select. So again, that would be a $208,000 increase, but we would need to increase the budget by $74K over what we have right now. But option four, again, option four is if you just said we want to pay a flat amount per every tier. So right there, when you add the HSA into those amounts, we're trying to get to basically $750 we would pay for an employee-only plan, around $1,175 you would pay for a dual plan, and then $1,675 you would pay for a family plan. So you can see what the amounts are if you did a flat amount. You can see there are some individuals on high deductible health plans that would see a slight decrease if you wanted to keep everything consistent within each one of those tiers. And then we go to option five. And then option five, again, is just tweaking some of the percentages. You know, I will say, you know, when you look at localities and what other localities do, they're all over the map a little bit. We have some localities that pay near kind of what we do for different plans. You have some localities that, or I guess if you want to say the schools, that that charge higher amounts to their employees for family and dual plans. You know, looking at some, we're a little bit lower, but, you know, it really depends on where the board wants to go with this. So you can see the increases and a few decreases and increases in that column on that. But go back to the very beginning slide. Slide one, or actually slide two. Go one more. So yeah, go back. Nope, either way. One more.
There we go.
Struggle busting over there.
You said slide two.
So again, I think from the board standpoint, determining what do you want to fund? I mean, what do you value and then what do you think where we should be with employees? And again, really those numbers right there, that's what the effect is to the budget right now. County pays the same amount. Well, the 136 I put in there, you can get rid of that and you have savings, and then the employees have to eat the whole bit. You know, obviously the employees pay the same amount. Well, the county picks up all that increase. So you know, basically double what I have in there right now, or some variation in between. So really at this point, you know, after this, we can kind of get into the budget sheet and kind of see where things are. But that's just kind of a high level overview of some different plans, and happy to hear any direction from the board on this. Because again, really probably by the next meeting or two, so either by March 20th, or if we have a budget work session on March 27th, we would have to have an absolute decision from the board at that point, because Ms. Snow has to let Anthem, the local choice, know what the board approved for a contribution schedule. And obviously the contribution schedule will depend upon what the board selects here.
We'll hopefully have something figured out by then.
Yeah. We have to set max tax rate next meeting.
Yeah, and we have to set the max tax rate at the next board meeting, too.
The absolute highest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So not the tax rate itself.
Newbie question.
Sure.
Does this include the staff at the sheriff's office?
Oh, yeah.
And social services?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Quick question. Budget changes. So, because basically the reason I asked you this question, starting off where we were at 17,000.
Yeah.
All right. To the good.
So just keep in mind, most of the changes, if you wanted to pay for something above and beyond what's there, you're either covering the full amount or it's right around $70,000.
It's somewhere between $70,000 to $135,000.
Yep. So close this out. Let's go to the budget sheet, and we can kind of dig right into there and go through the changes.
By chance, before you got on the budget sheet, did you pull up the inflation-adjusted tax rate?
I don't have that. I will get it for you by next one.
Thank you.
Tori.
Come on, man. That's only been asked for 11 years now.
What's that?
I think it's just important to put perspective on things.
What's that?
What I'm trying to
say. No, we want to go to the link.
The schools ask for what, 3-4?
Okay. All right, so go all the way to the top, please. Okay, so right now we have $17,000 to the good in the budget. And so what changed since my budget? So there's been a couple things, and then there's some things down below that have changed that the board can make some decisions on. So right now, Mr. Sheridan, L. Sheridan, he does not have any additional personal property values at this point. Again, I think as he discussed during his presentation, they're implementing a new module to get all the NADA values. They don't have those values. So what those amounts equate to is just some additional real estate values that they got, and some machinery and tools and things like that. So those amounts, highlight all those. What are those?
73,000.
Oh, yeah, should be 73, yeah. I wasn't sure if there's something else down below there. Yeah, so in what Mel provided in additional values, again, we don't have personal property. I think the personal property will be... But that it's a good amount. And when I say that, I would hope it's at least a penny's worth. But I don't.
Well, you don't know those yet. And the only point I was trying to get at is we know where we are right now. And yeah, then what the school wants. Let's say the 4-person crew. Then we got to figure out, is there a way to get there.
Yeah. So we have, again, 73,000 in additional value at this point. So go down below, and I'll come back to all these other revenue
things. We're 90,000 plus.
Yeah, I'll come back down to all those revenue things. Let me come down to some things that we found some little errors in the budget on. So speaking of the commissioner, there was a number that was transposed in his budget. So we shorted his budget by $1,000 in what my budget was. So I put the $1,000 in there. That's an additional expense. It was just a number that was transposed in there. Go back down. There's a bigger one that I talked to the board about. There was a $50,000 error correction. That was for Mr. True's budget. He had EMS supplies, EMS educational supplies in his budget, and in the spreadsheet, that EMS supplies was a new line at the very bottom of the sheet, so it didn't get calculated into the formula in that sheet. Now, this would be fantastic if because in my budget also, I used fund balance to pay for that $50,000 since it's a one-time thing. Now, unfortunately, the $50,000 is already in the budget, so really we have to add that back in there. If the board doesn't want to add that in, then I've got to back up the $50,000 fund balance too. But I included the $50,000 in my budget request.
So that doesn't cost us anything.
Well, it does.
I mean, it does, but it's
got to include it in the budget, but it's not changing the plus on the $17,000.
Correct.
It doesn't take away from our $89,000.
It doesn't take away
left
from the $17,000. That's already included in that.
Got 73 more.
They were just a couple of errors in there.
And those 1,000.
A couple other things. The Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention. I'm on the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention Commission. So they approved the budget. So we're actually going to see a $5,110 increase. So I've added that in there as an additional expense. The one thing that we can also potentially add in, and Mr. Fairchild and Sheriff's here, since you all are on the board, so I included a $118,000 increase for the Central Virginia Regional Jail. I've seen the budget proposal now at this point showing that they're basically holding localities harmless, basically not showing the increase to the localities. Flagana was seeing the biggest increase. Greene County was seeing, I think it was around a $10,000 or $12,000 increase. And then some of the other localities, they were seeing decreases. So the Central Virginia Regional Jail is proposing using their fund balance to hold localities harmless to not see increases. So the vote hasn't happened, but if the board feels comfortable, I'm comfortable, if you all are, that's going to pass, we could add that minus $118,000 in there, and that would certainly give us some additional revenue
as
well.
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
So that puts us at 202. So
is that going to be tomorrow night? Do you know?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. It's just under 202,000. Counting 73 from Mel.
Everybody was
calm. Oh, so there's an,
there's an additional 73 just from real estate.
Okay, so you're 73 plus your 17 plus your
90,000. We're 90,000.
So you can see now we're 135,000.
Is that plus the 118, right?
Yes, that's okay. Add the 118 back.
What about the...
But that's not adding the 73.
No, we haven't done anything for insurance.
No, I'm talking about from Mel's. You said Mel had additional.
Oh, no, the 73 is already added in there.
Okay, so I thought we were positive before the additional money came from
Mel. No.
We were under.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So scratch that.
So 135.
Yeah. Yep. We're at 135 right now. So let's go up to compensation stuff so I can give the board some increases on that. So stop right there. So a couple things. Right now, in all the different House and Senate budgets for state-supported employees, there is a 3% COLA that's in the budgets right now. The Compensation Board sent something out. Speaking with Ms. Mabe at Social Services, again, you know, for them, the 3% is included in there. So if you remember right now, in my budget, I have a 2% COLA, a 1% bonus based upon, the bonus was based upon what the comp board was going to fund. So if the board wanted to convert the 2% and the 1% to a 3% COLA, it's actually to the county's benefit because we will receive
Free state money.
Yeah, so let me just kind of show you what that looks like. So add 144 in there, 144,298. That's adding another 1% for COLA. And now right there, subtract out the 135,229.
That's that's a better way to do it anyways.
That's getting rid of the half percent, that's getting rid of the 1% bonus. Okay, so that's adding in, again, there's a really small difference between the COLA and the bonus. So now let's go up top, and you can see now we're at 126,000 of excess. Now we get to add in the reimbursement we're gonna see from Comp Board and DSS. So if you remember, I had basically 1% for reimbursement for the bonus. Now the state's going to do 3%, so add in the 48,262. So that's basically the reimbursement from the state, from the compensation board for the 3%, and now add in underneath there for DSS 36,963. So that's the reimbursement that we would get from social services for the 3% COLA. That's both state and federal money. So right now we're at 212,140. So from there, those are kind of knowns at this point. Actually, go down. There's one more small thing as an expense from a budget standpoint. Keep on going down. Keep going down. Go, 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 go. Where's JRWA? There's a small amount. So JRWA, we just approved our budget today, the JRWA budget, and again, it's 50-50% Fluvanna and Louisa, and there was a $6,000 increase to the overall budget for some contractual services and stuff like that. So is the board fine with putting the $3,000 in there?
Mm-hmm. You have to.
So put the $3,000 in there.
We could say no.
But that's kind of shortchanging Louisa.
No. That would mean
you
could see.
Yeah.
So do you want to go through expenses first to see what you want to add in, or do you want to look at some of the revenues that you could do something with?
I'd look at the revenues that we could do something with, so because I want to see what we can find, where we can find it.
Okay, so stop right there. Okay, so building permits. I think I mentioned this to one or a few board members. So we're going to be going through some ordinance changes in the building inspections department. Their fees have not been increased in 15 years.
Yeah.
So they're long overdue. Speaking with Andy Wills, speaking with Mr. Witten. Again, it's just a matter of getting the ordinances back in front of the board with the fee increases. But Dan, you think we can get that done by the end of this fiscal year?
Sure. You just need to advertise 1 month and public hearing the next month.
I think you should make it $100,000 per permit. I mean, that'll solve all of your
boy, you'd be happy, right?
Each for architectural review board and preservation.
Why we don't stop at 5-0?
So doing
can we
that,
vote on solar tonight too?
So doing that, Mr. Will said that looking at he's got some base fees already increased in there. He's got some models. He's been looking at all localities. So he estimates that would equate to about $25,000. Again, you know, kind of going back to the meals tax conversation, this is a little different. But you know, it hasn't been approved by the board at this point. But I think it probably makes sense to do this. I mean, again, it's been 15 years since we increased our building permit fees. I think we're long overdue. So I think we can get a $25,000 increase in there. So would the board be fine with that?
Yeah, I would.
Add 25 in there.
You know, this is going too smooth. I think we need a blackboard, and you can just
look. I mean, hey, man, I can go family life mode when y'all start drawing.
Tony, were you blue before you came here?
This is what happens when you've done this for 11 years.
Yeah. So there's a few different revenue sources that I've talked to the board about in some of their meetings. So one, we've got delinquent taxes for real estate, delinquent taxes for personal property. As you saw in fiscal year 23, we had a huge amount of delinquent revenues we received. Tori, why don't you go to the revenue sheet and go, yeah. Okay, so are you up all the way? Just go all the way.
And I need to reduce the size.
Okay, so if you see in this top column, we've been right around, let's call it $700,000 to $800,000 a year in delinquent real estate taxes. That's what we collect in that current budget year for taxes. For fiscal year 23, we received $1 million in delinquent taxes. So far, year to date, We have $672,000 in delinquent taxes. Now, I think we may be close to the million-dollar mark again when it's all said and done in delinquent real estate. So, hedging my bets a little bit, I increased my budget from $735,000 to $835,000. I don't know if the board wants to go anywhere above that. Now, we'll talk about personal property. This one I could maybe go a little bit, but personal property, I think we could potentially go up a lot more on it if you wanted to. But so
I in my mind had to 935 or 900,000, you know.
I was thinking a million, but I mean, it's all the same range.
I actually said 250 going up from 735, going up 250 from there, which would be 985.
We can just put a wedge in of 250 for both and call it a day.
So, okay, so you want
to total up about both, Tony?
But no, let's let him talk about personal property because personal property is probably going to be more than that.
I think so. But again, I mean, so again, if we did two, you know, that would put us at, 985. And so, you know, we're creeping up to
250 would be 1085.
No.
I'm going to go off the 735.
Oh, 735.
Yeah, off of. Well, yes. I mean, if we went 250 above what I recommend.
He's already added 100. That's what I'm saying.
I think that would be a push.
We'll just add another 150 to the 835.
Okay.
Have you spoken to the treasurer about that or not?
So I will tell you what she said, and we've had this in our constitutional officers meeting. I know her and Mel were a little concerned about with her, and this is not with her being newer, just kind of seeing how the department goes and before doing any big changes. Now I did tell them that I was increasing my revenues by $100,000 at the time. Just because just looking at the data, I mean, one, I think the 835 is no different than where we've been, with the exception of just a little bit of an increase. Now, granted, 23 we're at a million. I think fiscal year 24 we're going to probably be at a million too.
You're up to date? Is that? I can't read that. But is that through February?
That's through February.
Okay. So you still got March, April, May, June.
A third of the year.
Yeah, you got 2/3 of the year. You got 600,000.
So if that remained consistent, if you took the percentage, what would that number be?
Right at 985 to a million.
I think that's going to put us right around a million in delinquent revenues for the current fiscal year. And so I don't know if I would want to. I think we could probably increase this a little bit. I don't know if I would want to go so tight right up to the million-dollar mark, but no. I mean, like I said, but that's for the board.
950.
I'd rather be conservative on that.
Yeah, go 950. You know, drop 35 off of it.
I'm good with that. I've met with the treasurer a couple times. I'm pretty darn confident in what the numbers are going to be, and we'll have 2 years of having met the million-dollar mark. But I'm not losing sleep between 950 and.
So, Tori, go back to the budget balance sheet. Let's add 115. Okay, go back to where we were. Okay, go down to delinquent personal property. Okay, this is a bigger one. Okay, so you can see going from 19 to 22, we were anywhere between 5 to 700,000 when you look at those amounts. In fiscal year 23, we had almost $1.5 million in delinquent revenue. And when you look at where we are year to date, 963,000.
Oh, I thought that was a five.
That's 963,000. We're probably going to be close to 1.5 million.
You're going to be one. And you're at 729?
So what I did originally, I increased my amount. I originally just increased both of those amount by about $100,000. But as I've been looking at more of the year to date revenue, and remember, as I told the board too during that, I think there's a potential that we could go a little higher up on that one, just because, again, we're seeing a big increase there. But again, you know, haven't had a conversation with the commissioner and the treasurer. You know, they didn't want me to go too off the deep end. But again, just looking at,
I don't think we're going off the deep end if you go 1.1 or 1.2.
That's, and like I said, that's,
would y'all?
I'm comfortable with 1.1. I'm comfortable with 1.1.
Okay, that's fine.
Like I said, I mean, I probably.
That's a 500,000, almost, what is that? Yeah, but that's a $490,000 increase.
$370,000.
A penny and a half.
That's a penny.
Penny plus.
Again, I think with a couple of years of history and then changes that are in effect, I have no doubt 1.2, we're going to...
Is being conservative.
Yeah. That's, and that's what I'm...
Well, I think 1.2 would be conservative, Tony.
If in your
1.15.
No, we're not doing that.
0.75.
I like that, and again, I want to be safe too, but this is a way for us to save the taxpayers instead of it just going into general fund if we go over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're still going to have a chunk.
Yeah,
to go into general fund if we go at 1.2.
Right.
So is it? Did I hear 1.1 or 1.2?
Yeah. I'm 1.2.
1.2.
Give me a 1. Give me a 2.
Give me three.
Okay. So there we are. So right now we're 819,000 to the good.
And is, before we go further, is this with the 340 from the
no?
No. Okay. Well, we'll get that. We'll get that. Oh,
gotcha. We haven't added any of the extras.
Yeah.
This is not with the rescue squad 294 or anything else.
So go to sales tax.
Personal property.
Go back to revenue.
Yeah.
Go down to sales tax.
A couple meetings ago.
We like to do this at the end. You got to sweat it out a little bit.
All right. So for sales. For sales tax, I mean, again, so for fiscal year 23, we are at 2.86 million for actuals. So for 24, I budgeted 2.8. I've already increased my amount by 125,000 for the current budget year. So right now, we're at, there's some accruals. It's based upon timing when we get our revenue. So basically, for 6 months, we're at about $1,472,000. So I think for the current fiscal year, for 24, we're going to probably come in close to 2.9. So I bumped up my 2.9 just a little bit. I don't know if we have as much wiggle room there. I mean, certainly we get Wawa and other things, you know, I think we'll see revenue increases. But I think until that time comes, I don't know if I would go, I don't know if I would feel that comfortable going too much more above that.
But I wouldn't count that chicken until it hatches.
Yeah. So that's sales tax. So we're gonna talk, add nothing there. Let's go down to interest income. That's a little bit of a wild card. keep going.
Right now, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Stop right. Don't.
But Fed should do to drop the rates.
Too far.
Now we're 15 minutes.
Okay. Right there. All right. So this is a little bit of a wild card. Obviously, interest rates are going to, you know, fluctuate. So you can see, you know, for 19 to 23, we've gone anywhere from 198, 141 to 44,000 to when it shows a loss, it's a loss on paper because some of those are in CDs and stuff. But anyway, it was showing a loss. Fiscal year 23, we had 840,000. So normally we budget around $100,000 for interest income every year. So you can see some years we come above, some years we come below. So we did 840 in 23. So for fiscal year 24, we budgeted 100 for 6 months out of the year. Looking at a 6 month period of time, we're at about $500,000 in interest income.
We can get 6% on our CD right now. So
well, I mean, we're getting on our Virginia investment pool, we're getting 5 to 5.5%.
It was 5 when we met in December.
So kind of knowing that previously and knowing some of the fluctuations, not knowing what happens, so I ended up bumping up my revenue projection from interest from 100 to 300. But I just wanted to just kind of see if the board has any thoughts on, you know.
And we're at 500.
For six months.
We got to bump that.
You can add 250 for that easily.
I was going to say 3. I mean, guys, we're at 500,000 in 6 months, and it ain't going to crash that dang hard. I mean, you're looking at a million.
The Fed's bringing it down slowly, but the worst it could do is
I would say 3/4 of the year, if lucky enough.
Right, but I'm saying we're looking at making $900,000,
then lowered a quarter.
You're locking in on CDs that are 6 months to a year or whatever, anyhow. So it doesn't change.
Well, the Virginia investment pool is going to still be making
more
good amount.
I mean, we.
I would. It would not hurt my feelings to go to six there.
$600,000.
Yeah, 300.
Another 300.
I mean, you're looking at $1 million right now. Is what we think we're going to get. Now, granted, if we do everything we're doing, we're going to spend $7 million of our $26 million nest egg.
Yeah. But we're not going to spend that.
We're not going to spend that all at once.
I'm fine with that.
I'm
always going to be conservative when outside influences like the Fed and other people and the markets involved, and you just don't know how things are going to turn out in the next 12 months. I don't want to go slap happy, jack it up, and then we end up short and we have to pull from fund balance or something else to cover a loss.
Well, I will tell you right now,
we were not dealing with
the Virginia investment pool. When you saw those numbers, we started doing that about 4 years ago, but we didn't have $26 million to invest.
In those years, we did. Yeah. It was a crappy interest rate environment.
It was COVID.
Yeah.
No, so that was the $44,000 a year.
Well, it's the will of the majority, but I wouldn't go more than two.
So you think the three, you leave it alone at the 300,000?
You said do a half.
Three to five. That's fine. We're talking $100,000. I'm
good with three. I mean, if the numbers we're heading to this year, what's that?
I say I'll split it. Make it 250. Call it a day.
That sounds like
just adding to the night every time you speak.
look. At least, never mind. I'm gonna leave this alone till.
Maybe he just needs a warm place to stay tonight.
So 253. What are we ending up at?
I mean, we're going to be.
He's a breaking vote there. I mean, you got two threes and
two twos. Pick one.
1 250.
Where are you? 250.
Where are you? I said 250 right off the bat.
There we go. You know,
I said 250 right off the bat.
250.
Almost simultaneously.
I can live with 250. So you got three 250s.
There you go.
Y'all are killing me, Smalls.
Oh, no, go down.
That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But now you see what I'm talking about. Now we know what we got to do.
All right. So right now we're at a little over $1 million surplus.
And. How many other, are there any other influxes?
For revenue, no, not really.
The one big one that we don't have and we won't know until the numbers come through is the personal property.
Yes.
One. I mean, because he needs that new
until they get the machinery done.
Yeah. What he said to me, he said he was, when he sent his email, he hoped to have it done by the end of the week. Mm-hmm. This week or next week?
I tried to talk to him Monday, and he sounded like death warmed over.
But that would only, realistically, would most likely, that would only make us better.
It's only going to make us better.
But that's going to be bigger than
the real estate.
This is a, considering waiting for Mel, this is a conservative figure based on what we would get back
correct.
From him.
Okay. Well, so, no, we don't have, no, this has nothing to do with what's coming back from Mel. We haven't added that in yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That would only make that number go up, not come down.
Correct. Yeah.
So do you want to address? I mean, what do you want to go through? So there's really no other revenues to add in at this point. Those are kind of the big ones. I mean, kind of the next.
Hey, are we all doing planning and zoning permits for July 1st, or are we all wait till next year?
I think we're going to try to do everything at the same time.
Okay. So that might add a little bit as well. Because that also had
five. You're talking about $5,000 or something.
I don't think it's going to add a ton, but I mean, if we get through the budget time and we're
sort
of here or there, I think we can make some adjustments to account for that. But of what are some things that are in the works and known right now? This is kind of where we are.
Tony can always come up with some new taxes.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Could you just punch in what the schools asked?
Go down below and add in the schools' request.
Then you guys, this is Christmas. You won't see this again.
Hey, look, all I'm asking them to do is put in the full school.
Add it all.
Yeah, that was my next thing.
For a starting point.
So
let's do this. I mean, so one thing we have to do, we have to kind of true up what we had in our budget versus what their requests were for the different categories. So their offsets, they're not gonna make a change in the amount. So Tori, add all those amounts and all the pluses and minuses up top and down below.
I was gonna say that number ain't looking so good anymore.
I'll go back and add it all back in.
I'm gonna fix it for you.
You're killing me, Small.
Yeah, you can always reference the other fields.
Don't add it so quickly.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so then we're still back at the 728.
This is just me. I would love to see us cover the health insurance
just a little bit ago.
That's if we
add. We already know we compete against everybody.
Yeah. Oh, you already put this.
Yeah,
that's something that we can't cover and not have to raise taxes. I think we need to cover that.
So,
Woody, I'm be the last thing we come. Or do you want to put that first?
I mean, I'm just saying, if you put it in there, just see where we are.
I'm not likely going to be there, but
okay.
If y'all want to put it in there, put it in there.
What,
but
what was that?
At fully covering the insurance.
Oh, the health insurance. Okay.
Put it in there.
So go up to the health insurance.
Oh, not the 136,000.
It's 136.
So what? Well, that's what amount are we putting in there?
I'd put, I'll put to it fully in cover the 11%.
Okay, so put the 137,000. There's some rounding in there, yeah. Okay, so we're at 591.
274 for the...
294. For the four-person crew.
Okay. Oh, go back up here. Let's do one thing, because this will... No, go back to your budget, Tori.
My budget, yes.
I want to see it. I can't say I'm there, but I want to see it.
So one thing that we need to change. So there's been a change in the finance department. There's a position that was eliminated recently.
It's like $70,000.
So that's a decrease of $77,000. The one request that Ms. Melton had is she's got a part-time person in there, and so we're looking to try and increase the hours a little bit of the part-time person since we got rid of a full position, just to supplement some things to get some things done. And so would the board be inclined to put both of those?
She saved us 77 now. She's trying to take away 10,000. She's got a lot of nerve.
Small.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Take it out of the commissioner's budget.
That's right.
No. I think that's a good move. For what value you get from
it. Oh, no, I'm saying right. 67.
So it's only plus 10 off the
77.
Only minus 10 off the 77.
Correct.
Okay, so we're at 659,000. So
said 294.
So let me
did the four person crew.
Let me do a couple. Let me hit a couple things before we get to the big one. So in the treasurer's budget, she sent me an email, and I think it was discussed. She wanted to purchase an additional
cash counter
machine, which wasn't in her budget request. It's $750. So. Or is the board fine adding?
Yeah, that's a little too much for me.
I know. That's a big number. Go back up to the top.
It'll save that much money.
Do you know the number of mistakes in the current year?
I know how many I make when I would be at UVA and I'd be sitting there trying to do a concession stand with $600.
That's why it's cashless now at UVA.
For board of supervisors mileage, we're noticing that mileage... the reimbursements for mileage is more than it's previously been, and that's not a bad thing. I just think we've got people that are probably filing their mileage more than previously. So looking
who's
at
filing their mileage,
submitting mileage. So I think we need to bump up the budget by another 1,500 to 25, because I think aren't we already at budget right now?
We're
over budget right now. Yes. Okay.
Wait. So we didn't give ourselves a raise, but we're going to take it on mileage now? Because I think the raise was $1,500. So.
All right. Now, if you go to Utah, you don't get to count the mileage going to Utah.
It was a business meeting.
We didn't charge for mileage, but we appreciate the county paying for everything else. Work on winter tourism for the county.
For the record, for everyone in here, the county did not pick up the truck.
First class seats.
Not yet.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We're so going to request now.
I would like to put at least 1,500 to 25 in there. I don't know if that's
I'd say two.
Two. I was going to say two's between 15 and 25.
I mean, I already read Mike's mind.
Since everybody's filing mileage, I'm going to back all the way for 10 years and file all my mileage.
Dude, don't even go there with me.
Don't do that to me.
It's fiscal year only. Yeah. So go down...
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I forgot.
I'm going to show you where that form is.
Okay, so those are the only kind of known changes that we have. I mean, now, certainly there's things in departments' budget requests that were not funded in my budget. I mean, so you can either go through those and...
Yep, let's go through them.
So go on this side, go all the way up to the top.
I know everybody gets it, but I just want to say that 656 isn't found cash. I mean, it's... You know, it's money that we don't need to spend.
Well, no, but we've got requests, and so we can go through those requests and decide, whether or not three members feel like that request is valid or not.
The number that's there now, I got it up here on my computer so I can see it better. The number that's there now, that 656, includes the full coverage of the health insurance. We decide to put that in. That's the number we're playing with.
That's covering the schools.
That's the number we're playing with on the health insurance.
Covering the health insurance.
And we still have $300,000 that's going to come through personal property.
So go on.
So right now we're good. So right now, if we didn't do anything else, you could cut the tax rate by 3%.
All right. So commissioner revenue, we already fixed that $1,000. That's fine. So the treasurer in her budget, again, she requested additional funding this year.
Yeah.
So she had a very small amount. I didn't fund the full amount. Again, kind of like Public Works, it's let's get it up to a point where the education's happening, and then we can always revisit it the next year. But again, it's $2,500, but I'm trying to...
That's the total request?
Yeah, here, go click on the budget.
She's not here advocating for it, I say no.
What's that?
She's not here advocating for it, I say no.
She sent her employee.
okay.
Her employee.
Look, I'm driving the bus today, I gotta say this.
I work for nothing.
The guy's walking down the road with a shirt on that says, I retired and then became the full-time employee of my wife.
So previously what was in the budget before was always $1,000, but nothing was spent.
No.
So the request was $5,000. And so what I did is I'm like, well, let's, again, kind of going back to what we discussed for Mr. Hickman's budget, let's get up to an amount. So I ended up funding, again, between these two, it was $501,000. She requested $3,000, $5,000. I put in my budget $2,000 and $3,500, but again, so technically,
I mean, I agree with you in the sense that it's you put in the budget line item, it's there. Does it get used? It doesn't get used. I mean, I think that's what contingency fund is for. So I mean, that's a healthy increase. I don't know that we have to, lock in a $5,000 budget increase when nothing's been spent for the last 5 years. And I'm not saying she's not going to spend it.
No. With five people needing to be trained, but I agree with you, Tony. We could leave that at that and then fund it out of contingency if they get on and need it.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they will. They seem to be excited about getting the training.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I agree.
So leave it as is right now?
Yes.
Okay, so go back to close that out. Go back down. Registrar's office. So just looking at their budget and looking at what they've spent historically, they requested, they were a little bit money for furniture and fixtures, but most of it was part-time salaries. So go to the registrar's budget. And again, for fiscal year 25, there's only going to be two elections, a primary and an election. And again, so looking at actuaries over the years, at times when there's been three elections, we have not spent $74,536 in part-time funds when there's three elections. So I didn't want to go up to that amount when we're only looking at two elections this year. So that was the biggest piece of what I didn't fund in the
now, my one question is that which one, when did we go to 45 days early? How long ago was that?
In 2021, it was during COVID.
Yeah, 20, right there. You can see it.
I can't see that.
Oh, in the
so
current,
it was 19,000, then we started paying 56, 52.
Okay, so that's where, I just can't read them little numbers.
So the primary is June, that's in this fiscal year,
yes,
correct?
Yes, correct.
So you would have you'd have the general and then potentially another.
You'd have
a primary next year.
If there is the potential for one. For
there would be the election in November and then a primary in
June.
Yeah.
For the state.
Yeah. So that's why
both sides are going to run primaries.
So that's why I funded what I funded. Does anyone want to add that, or are they fine with what?
I'm good with it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Close that out. Clerk of the court, got a representative here. She requested a bunch of position upgrades for her department. the clerk of the court is here to represent her budget.
Did she advocate earlier? Because if she didn't advocate, I say
probably. I wasn't told that I could advocate tonight, so I certainly would have been sitting in a hot
seat. Well, no, I mean, again, they were here when they did their constitutional officer briefs. That's why we had them there. So there's that.
I can tell you. Something I was giving me, and he's like, I'll be back.
So I understand that the trend would be for others to come because one got, and I'm not saying where I stand on it, but I'm going to take each one for its merits. I don't care who comes and says I get mine too. I will say, in the clerk's case, they're dealing with some pretty serious legalities of having to have the right person at the counter might be sometimes a little more important than some others. And I'm not saying, I'm not lowering the importance of people's jobs, but I'm talking about where the law plays a role. And so I'm going to take each one on its merit, no matter which department,
I will come back and say that the argument you will get from the other two or the other groups are this. One collects your money and one charges your money. Mm-hmm. And without their offices, we don't raise money.
I'm not talking about the other positions.
But if I recall, Ms. Treadway, when you presented previously, you said you were comfortable with the budget as is. That's what I recall you were saying.
No, sir. What I had originally asked for was more than the $44,000. Okay. And Mr. Dahl and I had some pretty lengthy discussions back and forth, and we settled on the $44,000 that I would be asking for. Okay. That was not actually my original number based on my study of the market, my study of the inter-county workings and what other employees are making based on my job descriptions. My people are not being paid what they should be paid, as well as the compensation board also has the clerk's positions at higher pay bands than the treasurer and the commissioner of the revenue. There's nobody, all the comp board does is constitutional officers, and so they certainly, I would say, are, you know, experts at that. So the clerks fall at a higher pay band. So that's just using the higher pay bands of the comp board that I'm asking you for.
Gotcha. So you're taking the comp board numbers and applying to your staff there. Is what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically reflecting that the comp board does grade and reimburse for those positions at a higher level than they do for the commissioner.
Isn't that, why would that not have been part of the salary study that we did a couple of years ago?
I mean,
they didn't look at job descriptions.
I mean, I think the big thing is, I mean, so bad. Here's the thing. I think a lot of positions, I mean, I know she's advocating for her office, but I can guarantee you that there's a lot of positions that were below again. I mean, after we did our comp study, the director of planning, for instance, I'll give you an example. So Powhatan County just hired, they had it out, and their starting was $100,000.
I was the director of planning. Oh, no, that was our candidate.
No, you're doing a great job.
Yeah,
and so I mean, so I think we are behind in all areas, but I know Ms. Treadway is advocating for her specific office.
Not saying one way or the other, but the takeaway I got from this briefing was she has experienced turnover, and I think she has a case.
I think unable to replace the position, right?
I have at this point. On February 20th, I have a new person started, but I mean, it will take me a good 2 years to be able to let her loose because of the training and that's necessary and the legalities of everything that we do that you know.
You mentioned last time it was one person in 8 years, and this is the one person?
But I also have had other employees come to me, mm-hmm. my bookkeeper, who I would...
Yeah.
Die if I lost him. He asked me if he could. He said, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm thinking about applying for the position in public works that Shannon Race, because she makes a higher pay band than he does. Mm-hmm. And he's handling millions of dollars annually. And public works,
administrative assistant makes more than he does.
Yep.
So
I guess the question is this request and what she has here unique in relationship to, as we just pointed out, there was going to be some other places where maybe there's this kind of disparity? I mean, that's, you know, did you have similar conversations with other department heads with regard
well,
to
no, I mean, staff? No, we've, I mean, just trying to hire people, yes. We are having those discussions and just seeing what the market's like. We're just,
right.
the salaries and where we are after we did our comp study, we're just not there. And so I think there is a component of Ms. Treadways that is specific to kind of the positions and where they are in reference to the other ones, but also too, there is that spillover that just all positions are behind again in where they are on the pay bands. And so I'm not coming forward with the request this year, but next year I think we're gonna definitely have to look at where our pay bands are and what we're doing for compensation.
Because the sheriff showed us that. We made a big adjustment with the sheriff's office so that we weren't losing people here and there and everywhere. But now we're behind everybody again.
And that's my concern. I'm also trying to differentiate, is this about getting them, you know, sort of differentiated from other offices with regard to the, you know, how the comp board situates them, and get, because if we do that and then let's say we give Ms. Rittenhouse and Mr. Sheridan's folks raises next year, then you've kind of closed that gap again. So are we going to have to continue to raise them to keep them there? That's my, so I'm trying to differentiate between, are we doing this to get them sort of where we think they should be based on, and I know the comp board numbers are low, I'm talking about the percent differences between the offices and the jobs. Are we trying to get them there? Because if we give them that this year and then we turn around next year and give other ones there, they've then creeped back up to them. So does that make sense?
I see what you're saying. Like, if you did this year, I mean, again, if there's like across the board COLA, I mean, there's always going to be, mm-hmm. let's just say that the board said, we want to fund Ms. Treadway's position. This request, mm-hmm. Okay, so they're going to be at a higher level than the other ones. Well, if you continue to provide COLAs for all offices, they're going to continue to go up, and that difference is going to be there. So,
yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't necessarily not fund increases for our office next year if we did it this year, right. Per se.
Right.
So,
but the next line item is the sheriff's line item, which is relatively similar, right?
And well, the sheriff has two. He has two smaller position upgrades, but mostly his are for two new positions and all the added necessary stuff that goes along with those positions.
All the additional costs that would increase
with that. So, I mean, so those are. Yeah, so those are kind of the two position items, I mean, the two personnel items requested there, and then obviously Mr. True's request, too. So do we want to come back to those? Do you want to add them? What do we want to do?
The fire and rescue, the 142 there, that's not the same as the request is now,
No, no, that's different.
Okay.
Can we just come back to that?
Yeah.
You mean tonight, or just leave it alone tonight?
I mean, really, rather than going down from the top, we should figure out what our most pressing need is and fund the most pressing need, and then kind of do them in rank choice order so that you get to one. Because I've noticed in previous budget years, you may say yes to this, and then you say yes to something else. It makes your balance rate go wrong, and you go back and undo something or change something else.
Well, it's so, kind of this going back and forth. I don't think we're going to get it right the first time.
Oh,
if we
no.
do that, we're
but if
geniuses.
If we start at priority
order. There's a reason
order,
I'm in the gym.
And if do we think the EMS piece is very important?
I can tell you,
I don't know enough at them.
On the EMS piece, I would be for them. If we're putting that in there, we're going to consider, I probably would start myself at minimum at the Model 2.
Well,
I can tell you right now, guys, as the person that's sitting 20 minutes away from a rescue squad, and that's depending on who's driving it. And it's not so much me, but you talked about that stuff. I've got a neighbor, and we waited with them in the yard for 25 minutes only to be told we're not going to Richmond, so I had to take him off the stretcher and help him get into his car. So his wife would not let me drive him.
That doesn't change position or plan two versus plan one.
No, what I'm saying is maybe yeah, maybe yeah. wedge in plan two.
Yeah, because definitely,
we're
definitely.
Talking about life and death there. The no, other I, stuff to, is.
Yeah, I mean, you can put.
Not that we did.
We put in and take
we
away.
We haven't put in plan two
put
yet.
Put in and take away. No.
No.
Plan two, you haven't put in. No,
no, we haven't put that in.
So that's 247. You got another
294.
What else? What's a quick look at the rest of the list here?
Let's hear. So we talked about the sheriffs. I mean, basically, his is the two new positions.
Two new positions, and then a promotion from sergeant to lieutenant, and another deputy to sergeant. But like I told you in the presentation, where we're at is so far below the market. I got one left last week for a private sector job making more money, so down four positions. One is actually filled, but at the academy, won't be any good till August. The only application I have is non-certified, and if they go in July, they won't be any good until December.
Right.
So if you give me two positions, the odds of filling them are slim.
Right.
I would go back to what I asked during my presentation, is to take us and get us to where we need to be, closer to that a market. Because we're at 49.5 walking in the door in Greene County on the other spectrum at 58,000.
Right. And that was, how much of an increase was that?
That's a 9.5%. But even if you split it over 2 years, right. five each year, it would make a world of difference.
What was that total
take,
amount?
Take one of those positions away, half of that money, and then with the $223,989 we're going to get in SRO grants, we'll come back to the county again this year.
So sounds like you'd rather attack the retention issue rather than the right. recruitment issue at this point.
If you were looking for a job and you were looking at the market around you, you know, why would you go to the lowest?
Yeah.
We're only asking
recruitment and retention. If that takes care, hopefully helps fight both. Because
yeah.
we might be below Charlottesville, but you got some fewer headaches in Cleveland than you do.
The one thing I just want to make sure of that if we're dealing with that, I mean, again, sheriff's office is not the only one that's dealing with
that. That's across the board. I think that goes back to the salary study.
That's a challenge, right? It's like we go through a salary study, we go through all this, so then we don't have individual requests because that kind of puts everybody against everybody, and then yet here we are a year and a half later into a salary study saying that wasn't sufficient. So, you know, that's kind of disappointing.
Well, I mean, everyone.
I'm not blaming anybody here. I'm just saying that seems like a deficiency in the salary study because.
Well, I think what happened was, yes, I don't think the salary study was probably as great as we would have liked for the salary study to be, to put it mildly. Yeah. But at the same time, everyone, literally all the other localities, as soon as we did it, we were the first one. Everyone else,
of course,
Greene, Albemarle, Charlottesville, Orange, they all did them literally right after we did it.
I'm sitting here waiting for the reply or the response. We did the big influx in education last year, which has made a difference with retaining and hiring people. And now, let's see what everybody else comes back and does to us there.
So, I mean, that's, again, I'm not discounting what they're saying, but I think it's more of a global issue than just onesie-twosies.
Well, maybe we hold on these two items so that discussions can happen between you and the department heads on that and kind of say, okay, out of this, what makes the most sense and do that. I mean, you know, Ms. Treadway's request is pretty nominal. The sheriff's is pretty large from that standpoint. But what are the remaining ones that we have right now?
This is large because of the size of the.
I mean, we might as well go ahead and put in the 247 or 274,000 for the.
294,000. I'm gonna get you that 294 there.
294.
At least that's the number I wrote down. That's for four people. That's a four person rescue squad.
294,000 was model two.
Yep.
I wrote it down.
Yeah, I got it right here. That's why.
Even.
Keep repeating.
But you can find it.
But I thought, that 50,000 was taken out upstairs, right?
Okay. So some other things. So fire and rescue volunteer agency. So basically, go into there, and so basically that is just funding their full request, and then not fully funding. Kind of goes back to once it hasn't been utilized to the fullest extent. So
So again, we've been funding 25,000, and you can see we've been 14, 17, 8. You know, 25,000 has been the app, has been the consistent. So the request was for 37,750, and I funded 10 grand less than the request. So that's the one piece of the difference of the 142. The other one is just funding the actual agencies themselves. Again, separate there. Lake Monticello requested 519. I funded in my budget request 424. And Fluvanna Fire requested 273. Again, for all three companies, and I put in my budget 236. So those are the biggest changes from the 142.
And that includes the incentive?
It does. Yes,
it does. Yeah. Okay.
That's in there. That's been in there.
So is that just a policy wise we would tackle that after the budget? Okay.
Yeah. We can tackle that.
It's ordinance.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think.
Well, it seems like a whole other thing is going to happen within the next year or two on that. So
yeah.
I don't know that there's.
So I mean.
We. That's different with the incentivizing, because the incentivizing is for the volunteers that are fired.
And there's people that are on the cusp. If you calculate what percentage of calls you need, they're on the cusp. So maybe by giving an incentive, you'll get those people to run a few extra ones and actually come out.
And so how are those incentives? Like, what are the incentives? I mean, was it, I know we talked about
300 on property?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Figuring out what the incentives are and what, like, legally we can do.
Right, but even if we gave $300 for personal property to volunteers, that wouldn't come out to $100,000 or whatever.
No. I mean, well, the amount that we had in there for incentives right now probably wouldn't come close to. I don't know if it would cover the $300. Maybe. And John, you remember what it was based on before?
So we made a best guess as to how many people would qualify, because a lot of people won't qualify no matter what. And it was based on Albemarle's of $250.
Okay. But even that's
true.
I'm confused. If we're talking about $10,000 for the training or whatever that you had, but we got $142,000. Where's the other $122,000 coming from?
That's basically what I didn't fund for the agencies.
But that's not the incentive component.
No, the incentive's already in the budget.
I was just asking about that.
Oh, okay. I was just confused. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's already in there.
Okay. All right.
So do we want to do anything with that?
If you don't fund it, what would be the ramifications? Would you come up short on supplies for rescue squad?
There will be some scrounging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't fully funded the budgets every single year.
Historically, the budget's been funded at about 90%, 90 to 91% of the requests. This budget funds Quivana Fire at, I believe, 86%, and Lake Monticello at 81%. Typically, we've been in the 90-91%, so this is a reduction compared to the amounts. What would happen, there will be some scrounging, there will be, some of the things, some of the nices, the wants will get lost as compared to the needs. And there'll be, we'll have to try to do additional fundraising.
I think, for me, and I'm, of course, can't say enough about what you guys do, but we've spent a lot of money in CIP on fire and rescue over the last couple of years. I mean, a lot of money, if you can survive,
But the CIP is a different question.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, the totality is still a lot of money that's been spent.
That'll be true whether it's a volunteer or a courier. You're still going to have that CIP request.
I get that.
You still got to have the fire trucks to respond, whether it's courier or volunteer. What this money is keeping the volunteers running, which is saving you probably $2 to $3 million a year.
Right. So if we went back to the 90%, if we're at 81 and 86%, you're still not using the whole 142,000, because that's the full request. So.
That's the full request. That's 100%.
Right.
I can't
put another $50,000 or $60,000 in there. That probably gets you back to the 80 to 90%. Right.
Yeah.
Some of the reason I John and I have had this discussion. Some of the reason I funded Lake Monticello less than I have the other organizations is,
we don't own their assets. It's their assets.
Because it's kind of, we just saw how that played out. It's kind of irrelevant, right? I mean,
what's that?
Well, when you know the other rescue squad shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, they turned all the assets over to the county, so it's kind of semantics, right? Is Lake Monticello A going to leave, and B, are they going to go out and sell their assets? I don't ever see that happening. I mean, just taking a wild guess on that one. But
I mean, when you look at, and again, we don't have this up, I mean, but when you look at the totality of what we spend, again, there's a lot of things just in this request that we don't, that's not included in that. I mean, you know, for instance, you know, we pay for all their everyone's insurance, and we do the same for both Lake Monticello and Fluvanna Fire too. We pay for all their insurances, every single bit of the insurance, whether it's property insurance, vehicles. So there's lots of things that in this number that's already being funded directly from the county that's not in there. So it's just, you know, it just again.
I'm fine. Okay.
I mean, you guys are the experts here.
Oh well, don't call me an expert. I just tote hose when you tell me to tote.
I would be inclined to get back to that 90%, which doesn't sound like it's a big number, if we're already having retention issues and recruitment issues on, you know, the recruiting side, if
we were to get you closer to the 90%, what specific items would address the recruitment retention aspects of it?
I think that's in that bonus that's already caked in. I think a lot of this is for ambulances or maintenance costs for some of the older vehicles. That tends to be where they spend a lot of their money.
PPE.
Yep. And PPE.
Because in December, we're getting ready to have a big bill, because I started looking at gear the other day. In December, a lot of the fire gear in our building, and you're talking about $3,000 to outfit one person.
Yep.
Yeah, they get a big turnover and turnout gear.
I've got expired gear, and they just give me new gear. And it's only got a year left on it.
We try to survive the best we can.
Personally, I'm good with leaving it where it's at for now. And just, I don't want to sit here tonight and
chip
away at every bit of the balance that we had. And
so we can go through the rest of it. We're getting down to the end here. Public animal shelter, we don't need to do anything with that. Again, all that's doing is just reflecting the difference of their full request, but we've got an agreement that we pay them 75%. So the amount that's in my budget, it's
the 75%.
Fine. Yeah, they're good with that. Facilities, again, 56,000 some change. Again, reducing some contract services, some vehicle maintenance repairs, and then, you know, Mr. Hickman talked about the subsistence lodging and convention and education.
Yeah.
That's that. Public Works, again, for their particular office, again, it's a reduction in subsistence lodging, convention and education, and then office supplies. That's $7,200. Convenience center, some money for professional services, contract services, and site improvements. That totals $117,600. Social services, the $14,259. They already know about that. The board actually ended up funding that amount in the carryover request. But at the time when they submitted their budget, they needed that $14,259. Was it for a phone system or something like that? But the board ended up funding that in the carryover, so it's just reflected there. But so that's a non-starter. Parks and Rec, again, Mr. Spitzer requested a new part-time position. Some additional money for rec supplies, machinery and equipment, and site improvements for $66,000. And again, he was advocating specifically for the additional $5,000 for the shed. Library, the main piece of the $18,000. Again, Ms. Hoffman was requesting a new part-time position for her department as well. And a little bit was for some equipment pieces, but mostly the large piece of that, I think $14,000 of it was, I think, the part-time piece, if not maybe a little bit more. Cooperative extension, if you remember when Kim Mayo was here, she was requesting for a $75,000 increase for a new position for cooperative extension that would be all county funded. I did not include that in my budget, but that's what that's for. And then nonprofit agencies, in totality, between all of the requests and what I funded in my budget, there's $118,000 and some change.
And then just below that is just CIP. So is there anything else you want to...
Do you know what our growth rate has been the past, just roughly in the past, say, 2 or 3 years of
population? Population?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, what was the
census? We went from 24 to 27, I think.
I've got
10 years.
I did a presentation and I've got that.
No, so. I think we went from 24 to 27 or something like that.
I think we're at 28 now.
We are 28.
Well,
it was like 24.9.
It was 3.7%, if I remember right.
Was it very much?
Yeah. 3,000.
It flattened out. It was what? 90s and 2000s that we saw
the biggest one. I forget what, it's a 10-year span, we were the third fastest growing county in the state. But
what is it?
1.27.
1.27?
Over what period?
Over the last...
Okay. The reason I ask the question is, I mean, I just look at, you know, it's one thing to maintain what we have.
So, So from 2010 to 2020 census, the population growth was increased at a rate of 6.1% for that 10-year period of time. Over 21 to 22, it increased 1%.
And then 22 to 23 was also 1%.
Yeah. So.
So the only reason I ask the question, does our government grow faster than our population? Yeah, I look at positions being added, and it's not a pure way of looking at everything, but I look at positions being added and compare it to the growth in our population and understand different dynamics, say with the sheriff, crime is worse in different categories and so on, but anyway, just wanted to add that. Are we growing at a great, is our government growing at a greater rate than our population? Whereas population growth would typically be the reason you assume you'd have growth in government.
Well, it's an interesting question to see what does our total government staff look like in relationship to the surrounding counties?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fair question.
My staff is one.
Right. I mean, it's a relatively
Prince
fair
William's
question.
Prince William's staff is 7.
I mean, we could find out. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, I think we're probably less than some localities.
I suspect we are.
We'll be more than some, but they'll be south of us.
But I'm not comparing us to other people. I'm just saying one could not argue that that's not relevant data.
Okay.
If you had a corporation and you're growing in your staff, your staff or whatever aspect of your growth is growing at 2 or 3 times that of your revenue, then you might want to talk to your accountant.
Well, and here would be my reply to that. Were we behind when that 10 years ago started?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean,
well, I was talking more in the past 2 or 3 years. You know,
I don't think we've grown that much in 2 or 3 years.
Last year we added some positions. I mean, you know, the biggest one.
Well, we've gotten rid of a couple of positions also, correct?
One. I mean, you know, the biggest increase, I'm just thinking that in the last couple of years, so the biggest increase was certainly the emergency service department. There's no denying that.
Oh, yeah. Because we didn't have that.
I think we maybe added, I'm thinking in the last year's budget, we maybe added 2 or 3 positions.
And rescue is a great example of what I said. You know, it's not all not all necessarily tied to population, because of course these days you can't get near as many people who volunteer to be on fire and rescue. So that's not population.
Yeah, I think since we have Ms. Keene here, I don't know, should we look at the Java budget and what was requested and what wasn't done, since she's here and represents Java?
Is that really so
let's bring that up too.
Probably appropriate.
So again, request. Oh, why is this happening?
Good thing I can't read those numbers.
Just go to the wrong
guy. All them zeros scare you.
I
can't read it. So it doesn't matter to me. They're too small. Maybe if it's that big, I'll be good.
I'm all the way to the top.
Start looking like the national dead clock.
Go to
look. We just added everything.
better than nonprofits.
Except for a few positions.
Nope.
And we're 300.
Right, number three.
Put in 60,000.
Go to the retailer and request the thing. I don't,
we haven't even.
I'll wait to go. No.
I'm taking. Yeah. I'm taking the 294 out. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we had it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still at 364.
So Java.
Both on each school.
Java requested 93,713, and then they were funded 93,713.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just here in case you had questions. I was perfectly happy.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue to have that.
I don't come to complain.
I would ask one question. The one I think we all had the most questions about was Blue Valley Louisa housing. What was that again?
Hold on. I want to get there too. Eric knows what I'm probably going to get out here. We got Eric and Aaron and Marta here with some conversation about whether to shift some of the Java funding to Parks and Rec, which there was conversations with Marta about this, to sort of have our Parks and Rec take over. So basically, whatever we contributed in county funds that they would then leverage to state and federal was around $9,000 or something in that area.
Yeah.
And essentially what that would do would allow Faith and the county to take over the senior services and, you know.
Well, the community.
The community. Let's not the senior. Sure. Right. Essentially the community center stuff.
Socialization.
And I don't want to speak for you, and I know it was a meeting with me and Mr. Fairchild, but you know, it's not. I don't want to put you in a bad spot because and correct me if I'm wrong. We've got this MOU with the county. They've got this MOU with the. I don't want to get too much into that and how it happened and everything. But essentially, my understanding is that both parties are okay if we were to shift about $10,000 from Java to Parks and Rec.
Yeah. What we talked about was the fact that we would still figure out a way to maybe find another spot to do congregate meals that we would provide, mm-hmm. and that the $9,000 that's in the budget when you itemize, we would be more than happy to allow community centers to function under a Parks and Rec model, because that's really, Faith and Aaron are doing a great job with that, and the MOU is just creating a lot of extra work for them in order for us to leverage the 75%.
Right.
So if you all want to, you know, lose that leverage, I'm okay with making that work for them, and then we'll just use the other part and we'll keep leveraging 75% for everything else we do for you. And it won't affect our, you know, aging service coordinators giving advice and guidance, or the senior helpline, or insurance counseling, or home delivered meals, or our at home job. Any of those things would still continue, and that's what. So yes, but that all happened after this budget went in. So. If I saw 9,000 taken out of that, I would be fine with that. And that was the other reason why I came, because I wanted to let people know that that was a discussion, if that was something that was going to come up. And it wouldn't change what we look like in this county, and we would just write something that dissolves the MOU so that it's gone. and then we will just continue to serve Fluvanna and know that you will take over Parks and Rec, some of the things other counties already do as calling it Parks and Rec.
Sounds like it makes a lot of sense. Aaron was saying 10,000 instead of 9,000.
I'd say 8,000 then. No, I'm seeing how 90, you guys
no, no, 9,500.
Another thing too was that Java, to no fault of their own, but because they're a quasi-governmental organization, sort of has standards of things, the meals and stuff that they have to do. When in talking with Faith and Aaron, if this money can be leveraged to them, they can spend that money in the county and have food for the seniors there. And I just publicly want to tell Marta, and really Aaron and Faith too, thank you for meeting with us to kind of, I guess, get to the bottom of this a little bit.
Yeah.
I was at the senior center a couple times during the campaign and keep in touch with Faith. I think there is probably some support for this amongst the seniors, at least that I visited with. And so my thought would be,
we're going to get, I'd like to call it 10 because that's what Aaron's asking for, but Java, you know, Java's saying 9. We can probably find $1,000 somewhere else to shift over to Aaron if we needed to do that.
So didn't you have concern over whether that amount could actually cover, that 9,000 could actually cover the burden?
I didn't express that. I don't know if Aaron did. No, I mean, for me, that was the part that we expected you all to cover for socialization and meals. So, yeah, I don't care if we round it to 10. That's not where I want to make a sticking point out of all of this. Because I really think the model that started after a huge defunding about 13, 14 years ago, and then some return of funding, but not total. And really, that model worked fine then, but now we're 12 years later, and I think we've just evolved out of where that MOU makes sense anymore. So do you
think we could do the services that would be taken out with that?
Yes. Well, given that the personnel are in Parks and Rec, yeah, I do. Because you are not funding us for part of a person. So if I had to lose a person, then I would tell you, no, I don't think it is. But I think because your funding for the person was already in your Parks and Rec budget, I think that it could work. And I think if Aaron feels like the 10,000 is what could make it work, because I think a lot of what Faith has created is a really good Parks and Rec model of some field trips, some different activities. And I'm not always sure that the meals are the biggest part of it, but they know better what meals people would like. And we're under the restrictions for FDA requirements and safe serve requirements and a lot of things that don't give us that flexibility. And when we do, we have to go to those restaurants and get them to give us all their records, and let me tell you, that's not my idea of fun either. I think it could be a good way for Faith and Aaron to grow a program they believe in, but then we'll continue to figure out where we might create a congregate center so that somewhere, I think we're talking to some people now, maybe some church would give a space, and then people who want a model that maybe they, as we do more outreach, that they would like to come under what we're doing, where it'll be more integrated and meet some other needs, then we can help them that way with what we have. So,
and Aaron, you feel like there would be no, this wouldn't, other than the amount of money we get credited there, that it wouldn't increase your costs above and beyond that?
No, Faith budgeted up, and it'll save her a lot of work. And she does a lot of reporting in Java. So it's going to take Faith a lot of work to be able to do stuff around here that she actually does through Java.
And the ladies in the AFC asked about, like, and
Faith and myself are both state certified, so we know how to handle food, what type of foods and stuff like that to give certain. And so then we will maintain that certification.
If you need somebody to deliver meals, please talk.
Okay.
I know people that drive these roads to this county every day and got to have a place to go. Might as well be to take somebody a hot meal.
Well, and that's, and you know, one of the nice things is, I think we talked about, goodness, probably in the middle of COVID, we've got the Mom's Meals program that will deliver to people, because I know when Meals on Wheels was having a tough time finding some folks, that really helped fill a gap where Meals on Wheels couldn't. And when Meals on Wheels can do it, then we reimburse them, which helps them grow and meet other people's needs. So we really try and reinvest back in the county, but we know there are places where they don't have volunteers.
So is the gist of it, do we want to reflect that now? Is that where you're going?
Let's do it.
Okay, so, so.
And that's just moving.
Yeah, it won't help you with your $294,000.
This is going to sound terrible when I say this, and Mr. Fairchild will probably have a coronary, but $10,000 is like flipping the nickel. I hate to say it that way.
Well, but it's a conversation. Yeah, I agree. It's a conversation that needed to happen.
When our bills are normally seven digits or six digits. No,
that's great. It sounds like it's a.
This was more about process.
It's about process and money.
Streamlining and cutting red tape.
And I appreciate appreciate y'all coming out to meet with us and
red tape.
No, I think it was very fruitful, very helpful.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I think it. I would rather keep a good relationship in the county. That's much more important to me, because we do serve so many people beyond just the community centers, and I do think that Faith and Aaron have created a good model for the community centers, and the MOU just gets in the way. So.
God bless you for what you do.
Yeah.
So I pulled up Fluvanna Luisa Housing because I heard that. I mean, so again, we've.
So we done with me? Okay.
You need a hand?
No, I'm good.
So we've been funding them at $16,000 up to $22,000.
Grab a slice of pizza.
We've increased them a little bit the last couple of years. And then they requested $110,000 in the current fiscal year. I did not fund them at $110,000. I funded them at $26,250.
Thanks, Mark.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Can you mind saying that again?
Yeah. Again, you know, they've been funded for many years. They're at $16,000. 23 and 24, we bumped them up a little bit into the $20,000 range. For the current budget year, they requested $110,000. I didn't fund $110,000, I funded $26,250, which was a 25% increase.
So Louisa bumped them 20%.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
I had heard one time that Louisa was going to fully fund them, too.
That they were going to?
Yeah. Now, again, the budget process is not done, so I don't really know where it's...
Yeah, I mean, I did find out from a board member that that's pretty much where they settled, and that board member thought they were going to land at 10%. And basically,
well, if we put in the $10,000 we just gave, that Marta just gave us and give it to them, that puts us probably close to the 20%, doesn't it?
No, that $10,000's got to go to Parks and Rec.
That was just one hand to the other.
I'm just going to throw this out there. This is something that's been sitting with me since the nonprofit talks. I can probably find them, and they do a lot of work all over, and I know. Out my way and out your way, Mr. Sheridan, do a lot of things.
Yeah, they do a lot.
I feel like and I don't want to throw stones at others because I think what all these folks do is great, but there was really a lot of overlap when we talked about this with Piedmont Housing Alliance and with Fluvanna Luisa Housing Foundation. I know we're only getting to, 110% increase request. I mean, that's going to be tough, but essentially... Yeah, getting to what they asked for is going to be tough.
It's 400 and some percent increase.
400, sorry. Yeah. It was $118,000. That's right. I feel like we could shift. I looked around some of the areas. I don't think Louisa has funded the PHA. That doesn't mean we should or we shouldn't fund it.
Last year, Louisa gave us $7,000.
Okay. But both of those presentations, they made it seem like there was very little overlap and that basically... The Fluvanna Luisa Housing Foundation was essentially trying to hire one position, and that was really where the only overlap was. Given the work that they do in the county, comparatively speaking, I think that $4,500 goes a lot further probably with Fluvanna Luisa Housing than it does the Piedmont Housing Alliance. That's just my thoughts there. I mean,
that would pay for a 20% increase.
That's my one question would be this. She brought us numbers of how much they've spent in the county.
And
which is that, how much has that increased? We go, it's a 400% asking increase, but if I remember correctly, they've gone from 40,000 to 400,000.
It was total of 625 or something that they put in ramps and roofs and other services.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it as far as comparing it to what they're spending in the county, that 400% is not as much as what their increase has been in what they're spending in the county.
But, you know...
I mean, we only focus on the increase of the ask.
The people that are involved have great respect for, and I know they do everything they say they're going to do, and that they could do it four times over, make use of the money that's given them. But how much are we going to go through all the nonprofits and say the same thing about?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris. It's just it's an astronomical ask, and just seem kind of out of line. You know, I mean, you build to that level, you just don't get to that level, and that, I think, you know, to, you know, while it may feel like, okay, there's some overlap, remember, each one of these organizations has their own constituencies. They've created and they've been around and partnered with folks in the community for a long period of time. And to, you know, take away $4,000 from PHA to give it to another one, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I'd rather just give the $4,500 to the other place and, you know, call it a day from that standpoint.
I had the biggest concern about was the hospice of the Piedmont, the $3,000. They're running a $2 million surplus.
Well, I mean, there's probably 20 people in this room who can point to what the hospice of the Piedmont has done for them in this community.
But they have revenue come from other places. Yeah. It's like a millionaire and comes out and asks you for $10 so he can get a Wahoo burger.
It's a nonprofit organization. I mean, I don't know.
Where's the nonprofit stop at?
Churches. Maybe they're creating their foundation. Maybe they're, you know, who knows how they're doing that. But I mean, I think, the bottom line is that do they provide a service to this community? And, you know, is what they're asking in our community reasonable? I can tell you they do.
I'm not arguing whether they do. What I'm saying is when your operating income exceeds your operating expenses and you're running a $2 million surplus, why are you asking for $3,000 from a local authority? That's $3,000 we could spend somewhere else.
I don't think the Flujana Luisa Housing Foundation is operating on too much of a surplus.
No.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well,
hospice is something that I know Tony and I both have seen phenomenal things out of in our personal experiences. To me, though, we're not. When I found that out, my thought was, I'm not there to help them grow their investments. I mean, if you have $2 million in excess, and what'd you say, the director's making 300 and some
300
year?
Some thousand, 260 some thousand in salary, another 30 some thousand in other expenses. Mm-hmm. It's all visible on the IRS Form 990s, which was why I was asking each of the nonprofits the same question. And then when Ms. Hyland brought her full P&L, she came prepared. Whereas the other ones didn't really want to answer the question, because it's kind of hard to ask for something when you're running a surplus. And it's really hard to defend it to the citizens and their tax dollars, us giving money to somebody that's already running a surplus. It's almost like trying to defend a tax cut to a millionaire.
But again, I think the world of what they do, knowing they have $2 million, I'm not saying
I don't want to be one of those people.
Knowing they have $2 million, they're not in my tithing.
This is an annual surplus of $2 million.
Yes, for several years. So I can get their IS Form 990s for you.
$3,000 in that is just nothing but symbolic.
Yes,
which is still important. But I understand.
We can do a resolution for them. That's symbolic too.
Good to say.
And that costs us nothing but Eric's or Caitlin's time. Sorry.
Well, it's a question to ask them. I think it's a fair question to ask, but
give them a chance to answer.
Yeah.
If they have a good answer, great. If they don't have a good answer, well, you know,
they're obviously not asking.
We've got other places where we can use this.
Yep. So what are we going to ask them? And who's going to ask?
Why do you need $3,000 when you have $2 million in surplus?
So who's going to ask?
Well, Tim brought it up, you can ask.
I have no problem sending the email.
There you go.
Okay.
Great question. Copy the words for us.
But then we didn't finish. Did we finish? What, didn't you, Mike, have an item we were on?
We're on Flujana Luisa.
I brought up Luisa Housing because I think all that has been said is it's a 400% increase in ask. But they've been over a 400% increase in the amount of money that they've spent in our county. And I'm telling you guys, Mike and I see it every time we ride through our neighborhoods. There are aluminum ramps everywhere in Kent Store and in Fork Union.
And the lake.
And they're everywhere. And they put them all up.
Well, I agree with that. One of the nonprofits who was talking to us was dealing with, I can't think of off the top of my head who it was now, rape survivors.
What was that?
Rape.
Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah. Or she.
How do you not fully fund that? I mean, how do you put a dollar amount on, you can see a ramp, but.
I've worked with them before.
And so my point is, why do we not fully fund their requests?
I don't see fully funding their requests as being viable. If Louisa put in 20%, I don't think it's hard for us to put in 20% on that. And, you know, they can come back next year and advocate for why they think they need another 20%.
Yeah. What is Louisa giving you?
Oh, I'm sure they're
percentage rise is 20%. I don't know.
Yeah, but is it 20% of $200,000 or is it 20% of?
They were requesting a big one. I'm trying to remember. I found a budget document. I found Louisa's budget document that showed what they were giving all their nonprofits. I just don't recall what it is right now.
So for which one? I tell you what they gave last year.
That's what it was. I looked in Louisa's last year's budget for Louisa.
For Sara, Louisa didn't give them anything last year. We gave two, Shelter for Help and Emergency. We gave 12,000. Louisa gave 17,324.
And we're talking about
Savannah. No, we didn't give
Savannah, Louisa Housing
we
Federation.
2,000. Yeah.
Savannah, Louisa Housing, Louisa gave them 45,000 last year.
Yeah, and we're
which 20. Was more than what we gave them.
But they also do about 2/3 of their services in Louisa.
Yeah. But Kim's, still, even with the now 600,000 or 500,000, whatever they're spending, the notable increase here?
So I would suggest, let's just for tonight, let's put in 20%, and then I'm going to meet with Kim again and probably Dave and just.
You said 20% of Savannah?
A 20% increase for Savannah Louisa Housing.
And so just so you know, there was probably four organizations I funded at 25%. Just
so you had them at 25 already, okay.
They're
at 25%.
Yeah, I funded them at 25.
I shouldn't leave it at that.
I mean, did you want to fund them at a lesser percentage?
I mean, to me, for now, just being where Louisa has found themselves with them. I mean, it is Savannah Louisa Housing.
Yeah.
I'd say let's put them at 20% for now, and then 20% for now, and then let us have further conversation with them.
I will say if we're going to bump them, if we're going to take what? How much is it, Tori?
It's already
22,000. The we took them from 25 to 20.
Oh, it's going to lower.
It's going to lower.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. How much is it going to lower?
It's like $1,600.
Yeah.
$1,600.
It goes from 26,250 to 22,000.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think that short answer would be you look at the proportion of delivery of services, and if they're now delivering 40% instead of 30%, and, you know.
That'd be one of the questions asked, and what percentages,
delivery of services, and I think that's there. I mean, again, all these organizations do an awful lot for the community.
Yeah,
we generally get our dollar. But to Tim's point, you know, it's a fair question. I mean, you know, when you're doing that, you know.
Let's just leave them where they're at for now. I'm going to have that conversation with them, and any other board members welcome to also. And just
go up to the top so you can see which ones are funded at a higher percent. Keep on going down.
CIRCAP
was funded at 25%. Again, they went from 1315 to 1645. Central Virginia Small Business Development Center, I funded them at 25%.
Do you know why?
What's that?
Why SBDC did you give them 25?
Yeah, because they're doing a ton of work in the county right now. And Jennifer, do you want to?
Yeah,
just
hire that person.
We haven't fully funded them ever. So it looks like a big jump, but we're starting to be more consistent with all of the other counties. In addition to that, we are using a big portion of their services here in Savannah, faces the whole region. So we also have the Fork Union grant that gets $100,000 a year that's renewable potentially for the next 3 years. So they're bringing us $300,000 of service.
Yeah. So
what was the reason that you gave for eliminating chamber funding? I mean, I think the optics on that are terrible, but
Sure. So we funded $4,045
flyers.
The specific ask was for the what's called
the guide,
the business directory, the business guide, business directory. Okay. And again, they haven't even started on that thing yet. And again, it was for a specific purpose. And so my thinking is, if it's not, I understand we've got a few months left out of the fiscal year, but if you're not going to, if it's not going to be finished this fiscal year, we already gave you the funding for a specific purpose. And,
yeah.
And so that's basically.
And they are, I'd say it if they're in the room, they are having a number of, they're kind of a house of cards right now. And they're not.
Well, and that's kind of the point in a way is, you know, are you perpetuating their demise by not giving them money, and what's the effect of not having a chamber in the area? So, I mean, I think...
Well, the chamber guide, if that money's supposed to be spent on chamber guide, and I think it's safe to say there are thousands of chamber guides in the basement. Is that accurate? And clearly, here they're not getting it spent now, and then, you know, what is really even the real use for the guides even now? You know, there's what, like four boxes or something? I don't know. It's some.
Maybe they're not using the money for that. I'm just saying that, you know, it seems to me that, you know, most communities value their chamber for a number of reasons, and then as a locality, you know, there's, you know, showing that you're supporting them is kind of important as well, too. That's kind of what I'm saying there. How they're using their money, and they're not here to speak about it. Maybe we need to have them do that. That's a different question.
But like I said, the optics don't look good.
I know they don't, but I mean, again, when we get a request for a specific purpose and it's not fulfilled for that purpose, yeah. I think...
What did they... Did you ask them about that? Did they say anything? Was there anything?
I'm going to meet with them tomorrow. So.
Okay. So
he'll get back to you.
Get back to me.
And then, yes, Rivanna Conservation Alliance, again, went from, they're 25%, went from 2285 to 2862. So those are the four organizations I funded at a higher percentage.
And why RCA?
Rivanna Conservation Alliance?
Yeah.
Again, just a lot of the work that they've done in the county. And again, I think we've historically funded them really, really low. And yep. I think the work that they do far exceeds what we've been funding.
And
I
can't say even at 25%, what's the increase?
Well,
$400
$600 $600.
My thought at the time was, for the one above that's running a surplus, if I could move the money somewhere, I'd move it to something like that. The compelling case they put before us with the water testing and the other things that they do, I'd rather give it to somebody who can put it in good use, that we can see the benefit, clearly see it, Fluvanna, when they got nothing and they're just trying to do something with nothing.
The reason I say I can't say anything about it is because my daughter runs it. Yeah. So I can't say anything about it.
Oh, and I didn't know that, and that had no bearing on my life.
Well, you don't have to advocate. I can see the need of it and I can see the benefit of it. And the river is a tourism draw for us. You know, people look at that and that's a source of local pride. So
we were unable to do our tire cleanup this year in the fall because there wasn't enough water in the river. So that's the group we're doing that with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Don't ask me. I can't keep all of them straight.
Okay? But so
we got 162 tires out of the river last year.
Yeah. So no, is there any other changes? Or we?
So FLDP, and I've had more than one organization mention that to me, and I can't justify why we give them $1,000, but we don't other use programs in the county. Again, softball or whoever.
And the question I had was on the graduation rate. If the, because the people now are just under 100, and we asked, if we didn't give this to you, what would it change for the people wanting to engage in the program? And it would have taken them to like 112,
$111,
which then you break that mythical $100, I'm invested into this, and maybe I'll see the course through to the end. And I think a 60, 70% graduation rate, third of the people dropping out. I think
they go from 30 some people at the start to like 21 people at graduation or so.
Yeah.
And as I said, to Charlie last year. I mean, if people are paying $75 for a year, they're not really vested.
It's not even a whole year.
And right. And so it was $111 to spread that $1,000 over everybody that signs up for the class. And that is not going to be the difference of what makes people participate. And when I asked, and again, as I said to him this year, I realized I kind of caught him off guard, but when I said, what is the, you know, what is the value of us doing it if you could, if you know you could get $111, he said, well, it shows support for our program. But then why don't we give support to girls softball and soccer? Soccer has 300 or 400 some kids a year.
404.
I'm sorry?
404 this year.
404. Think of all the adults who participate to make that 404 kids a year happen that are committing and volunteering just as much time as the people that are in there. They're affecting 400 youth compared to 20-some adults. I mean, there's justification and qualification. There's justification for everything all these nonprofits do. How do we say this one's
worthy?
Do money?
Well, let's see. Everybody who's attended FLDP, raise your hand. Okay. Now let's take a look at that. How many of them are in leadership in this county? All right.
And then
let's also just go ahead and add in the fact that what are they specifically doing? They're volunteering their time to educate people on how their government works.
And again,
a very specific thing.
Soccer coaches are educating kids on life.
To argue over $1,000 for this organization, which won't even have one-tenth of a difference on the budget.
Should we give it if soccer asks for it?
I would say that soccer is funded by the people that are paying into it. You know, soccer is a very powerful organization that are participating in it. And I would also say that their purpose is not to educate people on the government. You know,
theirs is to educate 400 and some children on life's lessons.
I understand that, but they're not educating them on how their government functions. And again, I think this is, you know, you're taking something that is, you know, an organization that is literally trying to better the community, you know, for the purposes of having people understand how their government works. And the government itself doesn't support it.
Is that worth more than what coaches do?
I'm not saying it's worth more. I'm just saying it's very petty.
To the good for the community, is one worth more than the other? Does one bring a greater value?
Potentially, yeah, sure.
To the county,
potentially, sure. I mean, you know, maybe you wouldn't be involved in government. Maybe I wouldn't be involved in government. Maybe the sheriff wouldn't be involved. I mean, who's to say? Maybe somebody would come up with an idea that saves the county tens of thousands of dollars. Maybe,
well, I could say I wouldn't be in government because I didn't do it until after I was on the board.
I'm just saying that's an example. I mean, you know, those are all examples of that. So
the argument against that would be, I'm on the board, I haven't done it, but I did play Little League Baseball and all that other stuff.
And I coached
sports. Did they teach me leadership skills that I use here?
I don't think I'd be here if I didn't do all that coaching.
I cannot believe we're spending any time arguing about that.
I hear you.
To me, it's like mind-blowing.
I hear you.
My mind's exploding.
While there is a youth organization that has asked why they don't get the money.
I cannot imagine you and Chris would argue about anything.
Hold on, but listen. There's a youth sports organization that has asked why they don't get similar money.
Have they applied for it?
No.
Exactly.
There's a lot of organizations considering.
Well, they believe they can raise it themselves, and as FLDB can. So
I would say if you want to do that, let's do this. Let's ask the FLDP to let them know that we're planning on cutting the $1,000, and then let them have all their FLDP graduates come and tell us why that's a bad idea. Okay. Which will, by the way, waste more time than the $1,000 that we're giving them in terms of county staff time. But
would you do the same with every soccer family that's not given? Have them come tell us that's a bad idea?
I mean, you're putting hypotheticals as opposed to something.
No, they did ask.
They did ask.
I'm not saying which sports program it is. I have been asked by a sports program.
Did they come and present to the board and ask? Because
they believe they can raise the money themselves and they have a responsibility to do so.
Okay.
And we already know that FLDP could.
Well, they could have a car wash instead of doing it this way.
Fundamentally, to have a program that is specifically designed to educate the local citizens on how their government functions, and the government itself doesn't do anything for it, it's just like, shake your head. You just say,
well, except for staff. I mean, goes to what at least every other FLDP and participates. That's not happening.
And they go to FUMA and they show the community how wonderful FUMA is, and
they go to the fires folks and they show them that.
Again,
and go to
it's not about whether they do good. It's whether we're doing, whether we're funding everybody who does good.
My question around was specifically centered, could it increase the graduation rate to where we have more people better informed rather than putting the money in and they bail halfway through?
Again, I just think you guys are going to look like chumps if you do it, but that's all I got to say. I mean,
it's not the first time I've been called a chump. Nope. So, we can come back to it if you all want, but that's one.
Hey, they asked for a raise one time right and there. I drove the bus for 2 years.
You did?
So they didn't have to pay for it.
All right, let's not deal with it now. It's only
good on nonprofits.
Let's move on.
Okay. Yeah. My bad. I didn't know I was opening up that can of worms.
Okay, so
don't be over laughing at me.
You opened up one 2 weeks ago.
This was just the
so
you always remember what it was.
It was, hey, you guys in Utah, you got anything to say?
I should have told Kelly to hit mute. That's what I should have told.
We had a lot to say when we were.
I only got one question. You brought it up. What time do you think they finally got to bed after arguing about the crap? And anyway, we're going to leave that alone right now. I don't want to know.
I got stories.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that one offline.
In front of the fireplace or
not in front of the fireplace? I'm sorry, Eric.
Don't go any further. Stop.
CIP, do we want to talk about CIP?
That could be a damn gap.
CIP or, I mean, right now, where we're at, we're at 362,000.
So on the CIP, so the CIP is not, what you showed us in the CIP is not funded. If we wanted to do any of it,
all of those things are not.
That comes out of general fund. That's the CIP stuff that he's funded is coming out of general fund, correct? Fund balance.
Yeah.
Fund balance. Yeah. These are the things that were not funded. One thing I would bring up is what the superintendent talked about last week was the instead of doing the bathrooms to do the middle school track. And I know I'm down there every day, but I'm telling you guys, if y'all have not walked it, just come walk it.
Yeah, I mean,
just come walk it.
You funded the bathrooms, you don't, but not that, right?
I funded the bathrooms, not the track, but I think there's conversation that the schools would be fine to fund the track and not the bathrooms. And so I did ask
a question. I'm sorry, I asked this of Dr. Striblin. I got to remember to call him, at least I didn't call him by his other name. But Dr. Striblin sent me a message the other day. If we were to do all three, the high school track field, turf field, and the middle school track, I believe he said it would save us $40,000.
So I talked to Scott Morris Monday.
Yes.
And so I went out and looked at all the tracks too and looked at it with him and the football field, and I had some thoughts and questions on what could potentially lower the amount of the high school track, but I'll talk to you offline about
well,
that.
Well, I will just tell you
just that. Say, if I can just, I'm going to meet with him this month. I'm meeting with Scott and one of the rep of one of the companies that bid redoing that.
Okay, that's fine. I will just tell you, I talked to our track coach today, because if y'all didn't see the article, please read the Blue Banner Review about the indoor track meet, and I need to talk about that as well, because we had about 8 school records broken, I think. We had a bunch of kids qualify for nationals. Some of them won't be able to go because that's not a junior high school league thing. So we're not paying for their entrance fee. They qualify for the nationals and they're not going. I said, please find the number for me and let me know what that is. It is this weekend. I hate to say it that way. That's another.
May I add a point of clarification on that?
Yeah.
We're not permitted to fund it.
We're not permitted? I wonder if we are.
By BHSL. I don't know. Things could have changed because of NIL, but at the last I checked, we're not allowed.
I hate
allowed.
Them big on initials.
Name, image, and likeness.
I know, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I'm talking about.
But we researched it when we had Hannah Miller going to
that's right, because we had one before.
Yeah, we were not allowed to.
We're not allowed to.
Any support. They weren't allowed to wear a uniform.
What?
Yes, I'm they're lost. Not allowed to wear uniforms.
We had kids. You can qualify if you get a certain time that you can go to the national.
Because.
But I'm glad you clarified that for me. Thank you.
Sure.
It's in Norfolk this weekend. And if they decide to go there themselves and pay for it themselves, they can go represent. They can't represent Fluvanna County, but they're representing Fluvanna County. At the, I mean, to qualify for the national, dude. Anyway, what the heck was I going to say? Oh, we were I talked to the indoor track coach. And I congratulated her, and she's also the outdoor track coach. She said, oh, by the way, our Fluvanna Invitational is being hosted at Louisa.
Yeah,
I mean, because for safety's sake, we can't host our own Invitational track team. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
No, it sounds like this, you guys are on track to get the track done.
Well, I think they're about a wash. Dr. Gretz, were they about a wash in price-wise?
You talk about the bathrooms and the track?
Bathroom and the track.
Yeah, what was the bathroom was $1,011,000. The
CFP project. So it's really, it's a wash. Do we want to talk about it more tonight or just?
I think we're good for tonight.
Well, we don't need to talk about it, but instead of doing the one, he was saying one is for aesthetics, to bring them up to date because of the 50-year-old plumbing, and the other is for safety. So, I mean, it was comparing that and that. So that's why he said just switch one for the other and keep the CIP the same, correct?
Dr. That's Redden. What the, yeah, anecdotally, they didn't take a vote on it, but the school board pulled off five of them. That's what this.
Anybody that goes and looks at our track, guys, anyway.
So, we're
put it this way. I want to tell one story. We go down to the track. Oh, don't even go there with me after last week, 2 weeks ago. All right. I almost hit the gavel and said, hit mute. I should have. Anyway, we walked down to the track today, and Coach Goodson goes, man, where'd that shingle blow off of? It wasn't a shingle.
It was a piece of the track.
It was a piece of the track. It's about that big. It looked like a shingle had blown off. Anyway, that was just today.
So are there any other CIP items we want to look at or fund that I did not include again? I think I funded.
Do we want to talk about the big elephant that has been kind of thrown around the last 2 weeks? Two big elephants that have been thrown around the last 2 weeks?
Go down to the
fire trucks.
Go down right there. So yeah, the two engines. So I know I emailed John Lai, and John emailed all the chiefs too to get their input on one. You know, we had the discussion of will we see savings. Chief Constantino and Chief Mayo chimed in, and basically, you know, the long and short of it is they're saying that most likely that they're not going to guarantee that that's the case. Now, they gave me the number for Kevin Sandridge, who's the Pierce representative. That's the fire truck manufacturer that's being considered. So I just have to and get it straight from the manufacturer's mouth and see if that's the case.
Go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, why don't we drop one of the two, do it in the fiscal year it's supposed to be done, fund car 50, brush 30, Mr. True's request for the intubation scopes and various other miscellaneous parts that he wanted for the rescue squad.
And the sheriff's vehicles.
Well, if I could suggest, why do all that until he has a conversation with Pierce? We've had so many conversations leading up to, I mean, that was to me the next thing we were going to, whether the Pierce has thought about this, of whether that hundred and some thousand, was it 100 and some thousand each?
170,000.
Which is
well, we're going to be locked in. 100,000 is the EPA piece. The other 70,000 is
Inflation
for putting it off from years is what John said.
So say the 100,000 each then.
Yep.
If Eric makes that call tomorrow or Monday, then Pierce is, they have a plan for this. They've thought about it. It's not going to be something I suspect that somebody's got to go ask their boss about what's the deal. I think they're going to have a clear answer. And I'd just say until we know that, and if it is $100,000 a piece, then that's going to change. That's going to either, you know, it'll somewhat maintain this conversation where Eric brought us. Let's not move numbers around on all different items, in my opinion, until we know the answer.
And we've got the ability to be able to change those and find out what the difference would be pretty darn quick.
Is that going to be a cut and dry answer? I mean, or is it going to be, I mean, because I'll be honest with you, if their answer is the same as what I've gotten from everybody I've talked to, it's not a chance I'm willing to take. As far as, maybe we'll save it. I mean, we're moving them up early in the rotation.
Yeah.
If the answer from everything I've got is pretty emphatic, not going to save that money. And I'm talking to people who are career firefighters, and involved with purchasing and selling equipment. And if Pierce is anything short of an emphatic yes, I'm not gonna want to do that.
Well, and here's the one problem I see with
Mr. Y has his hands when you're all around. Yeah, I will tell you emphatically that you will not get a guarantee from them. Their plan is if the fees come through as they expect, they will pass it on to us. It's that simple.
Yeah.
There is no one that will guarantee that if we do it now, we were attempting to be proactive and trying to get ahead of it.
And I appreciate that.
And I will tell you, I will not guarantee that we won't get hit with those fees. Even if we place the order right now, we may still get hit with those fees. We are being proactive to try and get away from that. You will see some savings by moving them forward because we know you're going to get the annual increases.
No.
So you will get some savings by moving them forward. Will it be the full amount? I can't tell you that, and I will not hazard a guess as to even what the odds of it are.
And to me, the only problem with moving them forward and throwing them out of the rotation is we had a rotation set up.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you get a glut.
So 20 years from now, you'll
20 years from now, we're sitting here going, okay, well, if we buy two of them at 15 years, we'll save $100,000 because of inflation.
So I presented actually two CIP requests. One was with them in their correct rotation, and one was with these move forward. We were trying to be proactive, and quite honestly, if you want to go to the other one, I personally am perfectly happy with that. It's really up to you guys which way you want to go. You will see some savings. You may or may not see the others. And I will throw this out there, at this point, I think it's really a long shot. Is that Chief Poland is working with Bob Good to try and get those fees taken away. I think it's a long shot, personally.
Yeah.
But it is. It's not an ordinance change. It's an EPA internal change that will get rid of that. Because currently, military vehicles are exempt from those fees.
Yeah.
The EPA apparently didn't even know that fire and rescue were not.
We brought that up to Senator Warner too.
And that would mean that if we paid for them down the line and they removed that, we'd still get those savings down the line when they're in their correct rotation.
Right. But we wouldn't get them now.
We've had it's the basis of Eric's budget proposal. We've talked all around this. And the likelihood is that a three-minute phone call is going to give the answer. Okay. We're going to have other meetings between now and then. I'm saying let's not go moving things all around here until this quick little. We keep talking about something that has a very definitive answer, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am certain. I think I know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah.
But I think where we have the funding right now, I think, again, if you want to move things around, we're at the high water mark right now, unless there's other things that are on here that you want to fund extra. But I think what I put in here was probably even a little, if it wasn't for those, I mean, that's probably higher than I would want to go.
Yeah. I think what Tim was suggesting was you got one that's 2 years out of rotation. Even if we were told yes, I mean, that's still 2 years out of rotation. Do you want to save that? Or we could move one off, keep one on. I mean, again, we don't have to have the conversation.
Yeah. Right now. I'm just thinking once we know the facts, then let's...
So we're going to CIP?
Yeah.
I am. Okay.
All right, so go back to budget balance sheet. So go back up to the top. So, I mean, kind of where we are right now, we've got basically a little less than one penny.
We can find $10,000. We got one penny.
If you could
drop the real estate tax to 83.4 and fund everything we put in here. Or you could drop personal property by 10 cents.
I think we should pause for the night.
Oh, no. I'm just.
Are you
going
to adjourn?
I am.
I'll second it.
I am. There's been a motion made.
Can I just...
I think Eric's got to go.
Oh, really? I'm afraid, you know.
No.
I'm ready to keep going, but my wife's going to be happy.
Unless you want to withdraw your
I just withdrew my second.
Just remember, so next week, so March 20th, we will have an hour work session between 5 and 6. At the 6 o'clock meeting, we will have the board has to set the tax rate and the maximum budget. So
maximum or what?
Yeah. So
$5.
So it would be good to know. It would be good to know if we had an idea of what we were looking at for a tax rate. But I mean, we could figure that out within the hour. The only thing that does for us is we have to put some documents in the package, and so they're going to be a little fluid at that.
That's why I said what I just did. Right now. That's why I just said what I did. If we stopped right now. Mm-hmm. We could either lower the personal property tax rate 10 cents, or we could lower the real estate tax rate a penny. I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying that's where we are right now. We'd be at 83.4, or we'd be at 405.
I mean, you could certainly, we could end right now and adjourn for the evening. I mean, we know what we have. Again, just before.
I don't think there's any chance that we're going to go above what we currently have as a tax rate right now. So I think we just advertise what we have.
I disagree.
We'll go from
there. And I'll tell you why. And so the first year I was on the board, 2011, we had a midnight session the night we set the rate. And
I remember that.
One group wanted 54, the other wanted 61. My math had me at 57. And through a lot of arguing and intermissions and so on, we finally finished at 57. And I knew there was important to keep it down there and not say, okay, because we can vote on 61 because we can always go down, because it would have been more. Last year, we said that, well, let's just set it up here at this rate. It can always go down. And last year, it didn't go down. And so I'm not comfortable with
the tax rate we have right now?
I'm not comfortable with the tax rate we have right now. And I'm not comfortable with, no matter what the number is, in saying, oh, let's just set it. It's not really that relevant up here. Whatever we set it at, we can always go down. Because I think that was half the fight.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Last year, I think there was a mistake in the numbers we were given at one point in time, I believe.
Say what numbers?
I think the commissioner had numbers, and then he came back and said, whoops. It's not this, it's this.
Oh, he had a larger increase.
He had a larger increase than what it was. Yeah. That's why we thought, that's what happened last year. And I'm not trying to badmouth him because he's sick, but it just a mistake happened. I mean, that's why you saw me on my phone. I forgot to write a date on a kid's license, so the DMV sent it back just because I didn't write that day's date. A mistake was made. That's why we had it set, and then we had to go back up to it. We thought we were coming down. Thank God we didn't come down too low, because then we didn't have to go cut stuff from the budget where we were. That was what happened last year.
And let me say, I support everybody who voted wherever they voted last year. This isn't a statement about anybody else. But the one time that I did vote for that, okay, you know, it's our highest point, and that's where we ended up. And my gut was telling me, when we set the advertised rate, that I should not have voted for that, and in the end, I shouldn't have voted for it. So I'm just not. All I'm saying is I'm not comfortable just saying, we can always go down.
No, I'm saying we can argue right now. We can say keep. We're looking at the numbers right now. We don't have the personal property numbers in. They could be something screwy, and they could go down. We can't set a number that is so low just because we want to pick a number that's low.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying we could, like Tony said. Tony said we set it for just advertise what our rate is right now, and hopefully we're able to lower it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a stampede of people showing up. I can't believe you said the tax rate where it was already. I'm pretty sure they're going to come out.
I think there's still some conversation. I mean, we
there's still a lot of things that we have to do. So, yeah. I mean, that's a comfortable rate. I mean,
and we still got a penny.
We know we're going to go.
We know we got a penny of leeway.
Yeah. Also, want to and something I would say, if we're going to have a motion to adjourn soon, I would say we probably need to at least discuss
three to four things that we, I guess, homework for us each to go look into. Right now, not saying it wouldn't be something I support, but right now we have a full health insurance increase eaten by the county. The option that Eric gave, and if I'm not mistaken, recommended, right? Only is almost $100,000 less.
We'll all horse trade that.
Yeah. It was 60,000 less.
I think his 60. Point is let's know.
Not saying that we're set at anything.
That doesn't change anything.
We're not set. I'm just saying, if this is pie in the sky, this is everything there. You advertise, and this is for next week. Almost. I mean, there's some stuff still we haven't added.
I think am I right in saying I don't think they're responding to what you're saying? However we leave, you're saying you think we all have some homework.
Oh, yeah.
Just some, like, three things that we can look in and say, okay, what do we want to do to and I understand the goal next week would be to set the rate, but I mean, you know.
That's the maximum rate.
I understand.
Not setting the rate. The rate, nine times out of 10, well, it has to 10 be times out of 11, it has not been
met. We can say the max rate right now, we don't have to discuss
it. It's 94 cents.
That's fine. 84 cents.
Oh, I'm just saying, we could say 94.
4 or 5.
We're messing two conversations. Once we finish this conversation about where we end tonight, I think Hugh is saying we all have three or four items that we should really pay attention to.
Everybody's going to have at least one thing. I've got one thing already I'm going to talk about that could save us $110,000.
Well, let's talk about that now.
No.
Fire chief.
Fire him.
Don't hire it. I said this 2 weeks ago. I talked about it. You know, I agree with exactly what you're saying. What I'm saying is, I can't see us going any higher than this. I mean, maybe a little, but not much.
Yeah.
And I've walked away from this meeting going, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? Having worries. This one, we're in pretty good shape. If we fully fund it.
This is one of the best budgets I've seen in a long time because, A, we've got, you know, well-funded CIP budget of $8+ million, really good. B, you know, I think everybody worked very hard to come in and bring in a budget that was correct to begin with. It's one of the lowest requests that we've seen from the schools. I mean, everybody's worked very hard. You know, county staff and administration has worked hard to, you know, work with everybody to get these numbers here. You know, we're facing some very good headwinds in the long run. You know, we've got an assessment coming up, and we got additional tax revenues coming in the next year. You know, there's a very strong possibility we can lower the tax rate.
Look at what the two of these have brought in, probably 2.5 months.
2+ months.
Yeah.
Lord, it's going to be a great year.
And for Mr. Fairchild, this might be a real bonus because he might actually get a 5-0 on the budget. I mean, you know, first in as a chair, 5-0 on the budget, just saying.
We've had 2 5-0s in 10 years? We've had one. I know we had one. Mr. Weaver voted one time because we sat down and remember they horse traded.
I horse traded with Mr. Weaver. I got a 5-0.
I know we've had one 5-0 because they literally went back and forth.
I think it's four 5-0s.
God love you.
But you said it's a snapshot of it written down.
I mean, 5-0 is not on us. That's on the work of the staff and the work
of
the
school.
Oh,
heck no. I'm telling you, coming into 2 weeks ago, I was going, oh, my God.
Actually, Eric's 5-0.
What are we going to do? Because I know this is not an assessment month here. So we don't have that influx.
No, we don't.
So, and to be sitting here where we are and giving the raise and have the ability to cover the health insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, we may not be able to give the biggest raises, but we can tell people, you matter to us. We're not going to take anything from you.
So if I can kind of wrap us for tonight, is there anything about tonight that you all want to still accomplish or leave it till next
week? I can't look at your socks anymore.
Advertise the rate next
week. I can't look at your socks any longer.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I just can't.
Be glad I don't have my Mona Lisa socks on.
They're American flag socks. You can't look at those.
What?
Oh, is that what they are?
I don't
know. All right. So sounds like we're saying we're going to set the advertised rate next week.
In the board package, we'll have materials in there. Again, they're going to have some blanks in it because we don't know. I mean, probably what we're going to do at this point, we're going to probably preload some of this information just to kind of have it in queue, because again, next week when you all have the budget work session, we're going to have to kind of finalize all those numbers before that meeting starts.
Because then hopefully he has the personal property numbers, because without
he said he would have it by the end of the week. Well, so.
And that's probably going to be like 2 pennies.
Well, if it's a penny, I mean, kind of money up. Don't even talk to me about paying on my truck that I don't drive.
Okay. Think we're done?
Motion to adjourn.
I will remake my second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Chair votes aye. 5-0.